Front runner Zohran Mamdani is facing growing scrutiny over his campaign finances. According to reports by right-wing media outlets, Mamdani's campaign accepted donations from foreign sources, which would be a direct violation of U.S. election law. The controversy comes just weeks before Election Day and has raised fresh questions about transparency, accountability, and the flow of money into American politics. Now, under U.S. election law, candidates are strictly prohibited from accepting campaign funds from non-U.S. citizens or foreign residents. Yet new findings suggest that Zohran Mamdani's mayoral campaign received nearly $13,000 from foreign donors, including a contribution from his mother-in-law in Dubai.
What happens if Mamdani wins? What happens to $700,000 above asking? Does that go to $1 million above
it's
asking?
It's going to keep going up. I mean, this is a great time to be a seller. That's my pitch today.
Gradually, America's waking up to calls to prayer and the smell of halal incense burning in the shadows of Lady Liberty. The Islamic invasion of America isn't some fever dream cooked up in a Bilderberg back room. It's now live and unfolding right now before your very eyes, block by block, mosque by mosque.
I find that there are only two things which are open to our movements. Ballot or bullet, nothing in between.
I used to say that democracy is haram. Now I say participation in democracy is our jihad. That's our jihad. We're going to fight not through the bullets, but the ballots.
Going to the ballot and voting is now an obligatory action, fard ayn. And it is a jihad that is now needs to be done because this is our modern jihad. You can elect a person who wants the sharia.
Because in the United States, what we do know is that in the past election, just this last election, there have been over 800 Muslim candidates running for office.
We may end up with about 50 members of Congress in the next 6 years. That's really the essence of dismantling the system of injustice, is to replace it with the people who represent the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Approximately 71% of foreign-born Muslims arrived after 1990, with a significant surge after 2000. Over the last decade, from 2015 to 2025, U.S. immigration data indicates about 6.6 million total foreign-born arrivals since 2018, with Muslims making up a small but growing share, including roughly 3 million Muslim immigrants arriving between 2020 and 2025 amid global displacement, or the United Nations Replacement Migration Plan. Peel back the veil of multiculturalism and you'll see the blueprint laid bare in the unredacted files of the Muslim Brotherhood's explanatory memorandum, a 1991 roadmap to settle America through immigration, infiltration, and the slow boil of Sharia supremacy.
We not want to melt into American society and disappear. We want to go into American society with Islamic ideals and revamp their thinking. We want to revamp them.
I am holding in my hand the Muslim Brotherhood Plan for North America, written in 5/22/1991. This is about their explanation on how they're going to take over the West, their 100-year plan to infiltrate and dominate the West and establish an Islamic government on earth. This plan was presented as evidence in the Holy Land Foundation trial, the largest terrorism trial ever in the history of the United States, where our government handed down 108 guilty verdicts to Muslim Americans and Muslim organizations in America, raising money in the United States and sending it overseas to support terrorist activity overseas. And it says, the process of settlement is a civilization jihadist process with all the word means. The Ikhwan, which is the Arabic word for brothers, must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house by their hands and the hands of the believers so that it is eliminated and Allah's religion is made victorious over all other religion.
The founding fathers didn't bleed at Bunker Hill for a demi dystopia. Their numbers are small and will remain small for at least another decade.
That's the latest from John Bound. Find and share it on Infowars.com/show and band.video. We'll be right back with a special surprise. Stay tuned, folks.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, because this is really funny, because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. Conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. Looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesshow.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy sh! He was right about every step of the way.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from Infowars.com, band.video. On this Friday, the 17th of October, 2025, we got a big show for you today. Lots of big things happening in D.C. and all around the world. And, of course, we'll open up for your phone calls as well. And we may or may not be joined a little bit later by Wid Lyman. He's on the ground now at the Broadville, Illinois, ICE facility that has been the site of ongoing riots for the last little while now. We've got a lot of videos from him, and we'll probably talk to him. But if action breaks out, then, well, he'll be joining us from right in the midst of it. So that's very exciting, and we're very excited to do that. But, of course, I'm very excited to bring back something else. Yeah, these are some of the videos captured by Wid earlier today. It's always sad seeing pretty women tied up in the leftist nonsense. It could have been such a wonderful mother. We're doing something here that we haven't done in a while, but it's back. It's back, folks, by popular demand. We're bringing it back. We're shifting it from American Journal to War Room. Here it is, folks, your daily dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Friday, the 17th of October, 2025. Trump says Maduro doesn't want to F around with the United States. One of many very powerful statements he made earlier today. President Trump responded to reports of Venezuela President Nicolas Maduro offering preferential access to the nation's natural resources in exchange for lowering the temperature. As U.S. conducted a series of Caribbean strikes, telling reporters Maduro doesn't want to F around with the United States. He didn't censor himself, though. We've got more information about that. The CIA has been unleashed on Venezuela, and it seems like Venezuela is doing everything they can to not be utterly destroyed by America. Maybe too little too late. Speaking of too little too late, from Infowars.com, Mr. Zelensky goes to Washington. Today, President Trump met with Volodymyr Zelensky after a very good phone call with President Trump. Apparently, yesterday, he has Ukraine President Zelensky in the White House today, and they actually gave a pretty long press conference a little bit earlier where Zelensky, again, just wants this war to go on forever and ever and ever and ever. And Trump has come out with a few statements about what is causing the holdup with the peace deal. And basically, he blames it on bad blood, a.k.a. it's Zelensky. It's basically just Zelensky hating Putin and not wanting to give up his powers, the way I interpret that. But, of course, Trump talks about the fact that he got a peace agreement, or at least a ceasefire deal, and the potential for a peace agreement with 59 countries in the Middle East. But he can't get Russia and Ukraine to talk to each other. So we'll show you clips from that a little bit later. Meanwhile, John Bolton surrenders to officials in classified document case. John Bolton to make first court appearance in classified document case. He actually made that earlier today. He pled not guilty to all 18 counts, but it's didn't go away. And in fact, everybody I've heard talk about this, who's not just desperately trying to frame it as some sort of revenge job from Trump, but I've got clips from CNN and just experts all across the board, and everybody agrees, no, this is a bombshell case. This is absolutely a dead to rights case. John Bolton committed multiple violations of the law in ways that was really egregious and actually put our national security at risk. We'll get into that a little bit later. Meanwhile, GOP lawmakers refer Jack Smith to DOJ for misconduct probe and disbarment. A group of Republican lawmakers led by Senator Marsha Blackburn has formally referred former special counsel Jack Smith to the Justice Department's Office of Professional Responsibility for a misconduct investigation and urged his disbarment in two states, citing what they call deeply disturbing revelations that Smith secretly obtained their phone records. Of course, that was just sort of the very tip of the iceberg of what they really did, what he really did, what he was really involved in. Again, I think much more severe punishments should be in store for old Jack Smith. After all, he didn't go through the process he was supposed to. Basically, everything he did under the cloud of complete fraud. So we'll get into that, too, a little bit later. But, of course, tomorrow is the 18th of October. No Kings number two from CNN. No Kings two, what we know about this Saturday's nationwide day of protest. As President Donald Trump arrived at his military parade in Washington, D.C. this June to a 21-gun salute and members of the crowd singing happy birthday, about 5 million people across country took to the streets to protest his administration. Now, amid an ongoing government shutdown and Trump's push to deploy National Guard troops to American cities, millions are gearing up for round two. More than 2,500 demonstrations, around 450 more than were planned in June, across all 50 states are slated for Saturday in the second round of the No Kings protest, which aimed to broadly reject what organizers describe as Trump's authoritarian agenda. So yes, folks, the No Bigfoot parade going on all across the country tomorrow. They're going to demand that something that doesn't exist come to an end. They're absolutely infuriated that Bigfoot and Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny are out there being authoritarian. It doesn't exist. And again, they're really trying to push this line. They're really desperately trying to convince everybody that what Trump is doing is authoritarian, which is interesting because if he was authoritarian, you wouldn't be able to make those claims. You would know if he was being authoritarian. And I, again, just like always, am torn between recognizing and giving credit to Trump for not being authoritarian and giving these people nothing to actually hang their hat on, and knowing that they're going to do it anyway, they think he's authoritarian anyway, and knowing that if he is too soft and, you know, takes half measures with these people, it's going to get really bad. And of course, they're reminding us over and over. I've got more videos of J.B. Pritzker, governor of Illinois, again saying not only would they go after and charge ICE agents for doing their jobs if Democrats ever get back in power, but the same goes for Stephen Miller and anybody in Trump's circle, which, again, is just literal treason. So we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But that's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you, of course, by TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Today is your last day to be registered to win both of the incredible cars that we're offering in our raffle with the relaunch Alex Jones Super Sale Fundraiser. We're putting also, get this, a free bottle of Nitric Boost in every order as part of the relaunch Alex Jones Super Sale Fundraiser. Today only, go to TheAlexJonesStore.com and use and get a free bottle of Nitric Boost on absolutely any order. Plus, we've extended the 25% off store-wide sale in addition to that free Nitric Boost bottle, which actually is one of the products I really like from TheAlexJonesStore.com and take regularly. The Nitric Boost is fantastic. Vasodilation is what it's called. It actually increases the diameter of your veins, which allows your blood to flow more freely and can help your body with a lot of stuff. I'm not making any medical claims because, well, we're coming to the end of one bankruptcy. I don't need to get sued again. So do your own research. Go check out Nitric Boost and look at some of the reviews and see what it can do for people. It really is incredible. TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And like I said, we have a lot to talk about today and a lot of breaking news out from the White House and other places. I guess some of them have to be censored. I'm not even sure if I can show all of them. After all, when Trump's talking about Venezuela effing around with people, it's not radio friendly exactly. So I guess I won't be able to go to that video, even though I have it. But I do want to go to some other ones, like this one about Trump talking about considering using Tomahawk missiles. Sending Tomahawk missiles to Ukraine because, as we know, that would be a major step towards direct confrontation with Russia. You know, Trump is very good at keeping up this balancing act of seeming completely insane and doing everything that would seem to piss off Vladimir Putin, while also somehow moving us more towards peace. It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell with Trump because it feels like, yeah, literally half of what he says. I mean, he'll literally say it. He'll be like, yeah, we're going to go in and destroy Hamas. I mean, we're not. We're not going to have to do that. But we will. But we are going to. We're definitely going to go in. We're going to destroy them. We're going to kick their butts. And but it's not going to be us. And but it'll be under our auspices. But also, it's not going to happen. It's like, okay. It's kind of how his negotiation tactics go. Yeah, you know, we're going to send Tomahawk missiles to Ukraine if Russia doesn't come to the table. But, you know, actually, we're not going to. And Russia did come to the table. It was Ukraine that didn't. But we're still going to send the Tomahawk missiles. It's like, all right, then I don't know what the hell is going on. And it's no wonder we're not getting any signed agreements when no one can agree on anything ever. But let's go to this video of Trump talking about the Tomahawk missiles. Guys, you know which number that is. Number three, here's clip number three. Trump says he'll consider sending these missiles to Ukraine, even though we think it's kind of a bad idea. Let's watch.
It's not easy for us to give. You're talking about massive numbers of very powerful weapons. So that's one of the things we'll be talking about. Hopefully they won't need it. Hopefully we'll be able to get the war over with without thinking about Tomahawks. I think we're fairly close to that. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I say,
yeah, please.
Just to understand. So for today, of course, we want to finish this war, but the war is another technological war. You don't use just Tomahawks. If you want to target a military goal, you need thousands of drones. It goes together with such missiles. Ukraine has such thousands of our production drones, but we don't have Tomahawks. That's why we need Tomahawks. But United States is a very strong production, and the United States has Tomahawks and other missiles, very strong missiles. But they can have our thousands of drones. That's why where we can work together, where we can strengthen American production.
And so just so that I understand, so you're suggesting kind of a trade. If President Trump okays Tomahawk missiles to help you launch...
Yes, it's about Russia, military goals. Military goals.
Right, but then you would authorize some kind of an exchange where...
Yes, of course. The US yes, we have proposition. We have brief proposition with our drones.
President Trump... I don't mean to be brokering an arms deal here, but is that something that you would be interested in, Ukrainian drones?
We are, yeah, we would. We have a lot of drones right now. We build our own drones, but we also buy drones from others, and they make a very good drone. I mean, drone warfare has really come to the fore over the last couple of years because of this war. I will say, there's nothing like the jets. You know, we locked out a lot of drones in Israel. We were knocking them out for Israel, and we were doing it with extremely fast and powerful jets following the drones and knocking the hell out of them. So, it's, you know, we know a lot about the drones, and we know a lot about the great jets, the great ones. And the B-52s, which were totally they were stealth. They were undetectable. So we have a lot of different weapons. And, you know, I have an obligation also, though, to make sure that we're completely stocked up as a country, because you never know what's going to happen in war and peace, right? You never know what's going to happen.
And, of course, that is the big issue, is that we've sent so many weapons, so much weaponry to Ukraine and Israel, that we don't have a sufficient amount to protect ourselves anymore. And, in fact, we're incapable of building them at the rate that we've been giving them away, so we're actually backlogged like several years of production. But Ukraine is demanding more, but they're offering us their toy drones in exchange. Trump's like, yeah, you know, we make our own drones. We're fine, actually. Actually, we have jets and B-52s that are undetectable by radar, but maybe. Yeah, maybe we'll take some of your little toy drones there, Ukraine. Thanks for that. I mean, you want to talk about bad deals. The war in Ukraine has been the worst deal of all time, bar none. What have we given? $100 billion, all of the weapons we need to defend ourselves, a lot of, you know, capital in terms of geopolitical diplomacy spent on this. Of course, not to mention the probably upwards of 1 million lives that have been killed. And what has been gained? Nothing, actually. No, Hunter and Joe Biden got away with their crimes. That's basically what we got in return for that. Just utterly and completely ridiculous. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And, you know, a lot of this has to do with the Trump-proofing of the Ukraine war that the scumbags at NATO and the EU and the UN put together for this exact moment when Trump is trying to end a war and they have, agreements and treaties signed to guarantee weapons deliveries for God knows how much longer. At a certain point, like, why is Zelensky still coming around? Who is this guy? He's not even a duly elected president. His term expired a year ago, at least. And he just comes and just makes demands and then gets humiliated by Trump. It's just ridiculous. It's just when you look at the triumvirate of Putin, Trump, and Zelensky, there's an odd one out, isn't there? There's an odd one out. There's two guys who, by sheer force of will and their own personality, have come to dominate the political structures of their respected countries, having a complete mandate from a majority of the people there, and actually seem like they are genuinely trying to and succeeding in many ways to benefit their country. And then you have Zelensky. Then you have Zelensky, the former comic actor who was plucked out of obscurity. Actually, he pretended to be president on a show for a while, then became president, and has delivered nothing but endless death and destruction to his people while massively enriching himself and his cohorts. They're still doing the most insane tyrannical stuff. You know, he denaturalized and removed citizenship from, like, the mayor of Kiev because he wasn't going along with him. He's actually a literal dictator, tyrant, unelected authoritarian who is taking men off the streets, ripping guys off the streets to send them to be cannon fodder and die on the front lines, who's been purchasing yachts and houses for his family with all the money that we spend him. His wife is going on shopping trips in Paris with, million-dollar credit limits. And it's just like, and he's just brought them nothing but chaos and destruction and misery. And he was put there in order to do that by American forces and the likes of George Soros and other international menaces who have made a career out of overthrowing countries. We all have, Victoria Nuland and Piat and all these people to blame for this. It's just another sort of insistence that, like, yeah, our politics are not what we think they are. If they were, then the guy we elected specifically to shut this war down would be able to shut the war down. Somehow, can't get done. Trump wants it. Putin wants it. Doesn't get done. Sort of makes a joke of the whole our democracy thing. I'm not sure if I put the video in, but I did have a video earlier where it's a UK television show and they have it's a national show there and they have a poll they put out and they take, people are voting online and by text message. And the question is, is multiculturalism a good thing? Is multiculturalism working? And it came back 95% no, 5% yes. And it's like, it's not going to stop and it's never going to stop. So it doesn't matter how many people, what a sizable majority of a population wants. It ain't going to happen if it's against the designs of the elite, which are to spark World War III in order to enslave us all. So that's what they're doing. And Trump's doing everything he can, it seems, to put a stop to that. But it's got to be infuriating and distracting as we have so much else going on. And again, I got to give it to the Trump administration. They are going full bore on corruption in a real way, in a tangible way. It seems like every day I'm seeing multiple headlines about arrests of politicians or, NGO operators. And it's another one of these situations where this could have been done at any time. And it really should make you feel, as an American, like you're being taken advantage of, because how much of our tax dollars have been poured into the surveillance system, the law enforcement, the multiple layers of national security apparatus that have access to all the information they could ever want and all the tools they could ever require. No limit, certainly not the Constitution, forcing them to stop doing any of this stuff. And yet somehow there are these multi-million dollar programs that just go unabated. just total fraud being carried out right in the out in the open for years on end at certain points. And I've got, like, again, multiple stories just from today. There's this one. Popular Democrat homeless activist in Charlotte, North Carolina, Cedric Dean, has just been raided by the FBI for allegedly running a $14.5 million healthcare fraud scheme by taking advantage of the homeless and submitting false claims to Medicaid. And that's just one of, like, just infinite numbers of schemes exactly like that. We've got RFK Jr. saying that they busted one of these for, again, just many, many millions of dollars. And we've got another two arrests actually taking place in California, as California has spent billions and billions and billions of dollars ostensibly to fix the homeless crisis, which in liberal doublespeak actually means exacerbate and maximize the homeless crisis. Which, again, is there anywhere else in the world, any other aspect of your life where this is the case? Would you ever hire an exterminator who, like, came into your house and dropped a box of mice out on the floor and walked away? Would you, you know, keep paying for a gym if every time you went there you kept getting fatter? Like, how do we have so many government programs that do literally the exact opposite of what they're intended to do? And it is on purpose, by the way. The reason why this happens is because it's actually on purpose, and because the people who are bad people, the people with, you know, unfriendly intentions, the schemers, the deceivers, they've realized that it's just incredibly easy to claim you're going to fix a problem, bilk millions and millions of dollars from the U.S. taxpayers, and then nobody does anything about it. And you'll never go to jail, and you'll never get caught. And even if you do get caught, it's just sort of par for the course. It's actually the way things just operate. So who are you to blame? So you can take in tens of millions of dollars to fight homelessness, and then at the end of your, you know, career, homeless people have multiplied by three. Every problem you pretended to be solving is significantly worse. Only you're millions of dollars richer, and the taxpayers are dead broke. And their actual things that they actually need, the services that would actually benefit them, fall to the wayside. And it's just, how is it everywhere and all of the time? How is this such a constant thing that we are always having to report on? And why is it always the government at the center of it? Because no other corporation could get away with this. I mean, do people not under, like, what do people think about this? Like, people who are leftists, does it ever break through to them? Does it ever become clear to them that if you pay a company $10 million to fix homelessness, and they just buy a bunch of booze for homeless people, and a year later, the homeless crisis is significantly worse, does that ever have any impact on the way that they see the world or the solutions they propose? It really doesn't. It really just has absolutely no impact on how they perceive things. I probably should have grabbed this clip too, but I've already played so many clips. But it was a great segment of Steven Crowder going into that barbershop. And he had a clip that went viral today where it's sort of the similar thing. He was like, do you guys understand that black people commit more crime than white people? And there's like, nope, we won't accept that. And he's like, all right, then we cannot come together because you cannot acknowledge reality. And that's basically, that sums up sort of where we are in this world. Like, I would love to come together with my fellow Americans. I'd love to put together some programs that solve things, but they are allergic to reality and they cannot change their mind to comport with what is real. So yes, we'll keep doing this.
I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish DMOS was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of, like, thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the CMOS because it's a thyroid issue, and the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taken, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, as it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's
for
good,
me.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones until I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you, because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Welcome back, folks.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. George Soros caught funding violent No Kings rally. I mean, they really want it to get violent. I have no doubt that it is going to. I mean, the scenes that we're seeing out of the Broadville, Illinois, ICE facility every single day, it looks like we're on the cusp of, you know, the outbreak of some real violence. And so I expect, you know, those places to be epicenters of the No Kings riot. And, you know, hopefully the Trump administration has put the word out to everybody. Just let them wave their signs. Just let them walk around and scream. You're not even going to notice. I mean, does anybody even remember the No Kings protest last time? I guess they walked around a little bit. It really doesn't matter. It really isn't like a thing that actually matters. So they want it to matter. They want us to be like calling it, like, oh, they're, you know, we have to go crush it and shut it down. It's like, who cares? Who cares? Let them walk around. I do think it's, you know, worth pointing out that they expected to be significantly larger than last time, which is troubling because that means that things are not going in the right direction. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a little bit, because it seems like people on the right have this idea that we've won somehow, that by electing President Trump and, you know, the Congress and the Senate, that we are therefore in charge and in power now. And that's, you know, we're winning. And it's like, that's we're really not winning in ways that really matter substantially. So I'll explain that in just a little bit. We do have another video out of this Trump-Zelensky meeting. And this one's pretty interesting because, again, it's from our old friend Kirill Dmitriev, who, of course, is the CEO of the Sovereign Wealth Fund of Russia. He's a special envoy, very good friends with Putin and Trump. And he's the one that's been Q posting and is constantly sort of winking at the Q people, posting storm emojis under certain developments. And he is the one that suggested that we reinvigorate, reignite the JFK, was it Gorbachev or whoever was the premier of the USSR at that point. They planned on creating a bridge or a tunnel between America and Russia. And Kirill Dmitriev is reigniting this idea, and Trump actually responded to it today. So let's go to that video. Here's President Trump responding to the idea of the Putin-Trump peace tunnel between America and Russia. Let's watch.
This came up yesterday, a tunnel from Russia to Alaska. That's an interesting. What do you think of that, Mr. President? Do you have any ideas? How do you like that idea?
I'm not happy with this.
No, I don't think you're going to like it. I don't think he liked it.
President Trump, do you think that?
Trump just laughs at him. What do you think, Vladimir? I don't like it. Yeah, you wouldn't. This gremlin, this little pathetic gremlin. Why is he a person that I have to know about? Exactly. Of course, he doesn't like it. It's called the peace tunnel, and his entire life is dependent on endless war. So, yeah, it's like death to him, peace, the prospect, the outbreak of peace. Again, it's just like we should be placing bets. Which is going to happen first? Are we going to be able to end a war that nobody involved actually wants to be in? Or are we going to be able to deport Maryland-manned Kilmar Abrego Garcia? Two things that should just be infinitely easy to do should be the matter of a stroke of the pen in either regard, but that's assuming that politics is what it is perceived as, a group of people representing Americans. But no, that's not what it is. It is, in fact, a cabal of psychopaths, mostly in banks, driving us all towards obliteration. So it's going to keep happening, apparently. We just can't get what we want. We can't do what we want. Because we're not in charge in any, you know, real substantial way. And again, we'll get back to that. But I do want to get to John Bolton. But I want to remind you to go now to thealexjonesstore.com. And I don't know if we have the video that Chase filmed of them showing off the car. Yeah, let's show this. This is one of the two cars you can win. And if you go today, you get additional 50 times entries to win both this car, the red C8 Corvette, and the Jeep 392 plus $20,000 in cash. Today's your last day to be entered for both of those with the 50 times bonus, and you get a free bottle of Nitric Boost with every single order. Every single order gets a free bottle of Nitric Boost and 50 time entries to win this car. Let's watch.
Hell yeah. All right. Today is your last chance to win the Corvette on the AlexJonesStore.com. 50X entries. We got a J6er in there right now, peeling out 56 entries right now on the AlexJonesStore.com. Your last chance to win this incredible machine. Look at this. Holy cow. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com right now. Get a free bottle of Nitric Boost with every order and win this Corvette. Your last chance is today. Get it right now. Be the reason Alex Jones will always be on the air.
That's awesome.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome. That could be you, folks. That could be you. Imagine this time a month from now, you could be screaming down the highway in your new Corvette with your Alex Jones t-shirt on, your InfoWars hat, your blood pumping with the power of Nitric Boost. I won't say where you're driving, but wherever you want. The world is yours. That could be you, folks. Just go today to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And don't wait. today's the last day to win that car and the incredibly powerful Jeep. And you get 50 times entries today, as well as that free bottle of Nitric Boost on any order, thealexjonesstore.com. Let's talk about Bolton. Let's talk about old Bolton. Bolton was arraigned today. He was filmed walking in to surrender at a district court in Greenbelt, Maryland. He pled not guilty to all 18 counts that he's being charged under. And it's very damning stuff. It's so damning, even CNN is being forced to admit that this doesn't look like retribution. This looks like a genuine application of the law. Let's go now to clip number 17. Here's a legal expert, a former White House lawyer, talking about what's really behind these John Bolton indictments. Clip 17.
You say that Bolton's indictment is like Comey's and James's because it's about revenge. But then you say that's where the similarities end. So why is this indictment different?
No, that's exactly right. That's exactly my view, which is, yes, this case would not have been brought but for Trump's revenge, because we know the Biden Justice Department declined to bring this case, quite likely to avoid burning the means and methods through which they extracted the Iranian intelligence, which is a valid governmental concern. What we have now is, you know, Bolton insisting that this is, you know, purely revenge. That's clearly not the case if you read the indictment. Keep in mind that in the Comey case, seasoned senior prosecutors who were later forced to resign told the Justice Department that there was insufficient evidence to pursue the case. In the James case, senior prosecutors in the Eastern District advised that not they didn't even go to the insufficient evidence. They said there's no case. That's clearly not right. What we have here when you look at this indictment. And keep in mind, Judge Lamberth, you know, 5 years ago in the dispute over the book, pointed out that Bolton's unilateral conduct had raised serious national security concerns, that he had gambled with national security. He'd probably harmed his country, and he'd certainly exposed himself to potential criminal liability. So this shouldn't come as a newsflash that, there's a potential crime here. Two federal judges, magistrate judges, issued search warrants where the probable cause standard that was used by the grand jury today was met, and they issued search warrants, and the materials that were taken are consequential and highly consequential, because the most important paragraph in the indictment to me is the paragraph that makes plain not a single one of the documents used in the book or in the pre-review process is a basis for any of the charges. All these charges are based on newly found evidence. So I think that echoes the seriousness of this, and it certainly undermines the political arguments that that Bolton would like to make.
Even CNN has to admit, it looks like it's about revenge, but actually this is really bad. Actually, he definitely committed crimes that were actually very dangerous. Now, apparently, he was emailing himself notes with classified information about it. And the rumor I've heard is that Iran actually hacked this email account because it was an AOL email account and were actually able to get, you know, information from this, which is, of course, ironic because John Bolton has called for people like Chelsea Manning to be executed under a charge of treason for daring to allow classified information to get in the hands of our enemies. And he's learning to eat those words. Of course, those aren't the only ones, he said. And this is why it's less important that we focus on the distinction between Republicans and Democrats as we do between the deep state and the rest of us. John Bolton could have been charged under the Biden administration, but they didn't charge him. They protected him. Why? Not because he's a Republican, because he's one of them. Because he's one of them. That really is the important distinction here. And he's going to learn to regret a lot of what he said. The brazenness with which he projected his own crimes onto people like Donald Trump is really something to behold. And it's been brought up, quite a bit since his indictment. Let's go now to clip number 16. This is all the way back in June of 2023. John Bolton, very concerned about the way Donald Trump handled classified information. Let's watch.
You know, Republicans used to believe that not prosecuting criminals led to more crime. The answer here is take the politics out of the decision and, in this case, proceed with the prosecution and do the same for anybody else who does anything even remotely like it. Just read the indictment and ask yourself, if the government can prove what they allege here, shouldn't this man go to jail? The simple fact he had the documents for any reason or no reason should subject him to prosecution.
Yeah, nobody's above the law. Nobody's above the law, John Bolton. Who is that? Is John Bolton with 50 Cent there? Is that supposed to be George Floyd? Who was that? That's just his celly. That's his new friend, T-Bone. That's his new cellmate, T-Bone. He's going to get to know real well. From Viva Fry at The Viva Fry on X, the Bolton indictment is so damning, it defies words. It details brazen corruption, abject stupidity, and most importantly, conduct of people who sincerely believe they are above the law. He said, I presume individual one and individual two, who are the recipients of the diary-like entries detailing all the classified information Bolton was receiving, are his wife and daughter. I initially thought actual book editors, but the indictment refers to them as related. So he's sharing classified information. He's sending it through unauthorized emails. He did not report having sent classified emails from email that was hacked. It's a comedic level of stupidity, avarice, greed, brazen corruption, and a sense of legal and political invincibility to boot. Holy crap, he needs to go to jail. And he has selections of the indictment here highlighted. Say things like this. From on or about April 9th, 2018, through on or about September 15th, 2019, on a regular basis, Bolton sent diary-like entries to individuals 1 and 2 that contained information classified up to the top secret slash CSI level, SCI level. Bolton made many of these diary-like entries by transcribing his handwritten notes from his day's activities into word processing documents, which he then electronically sent to individual 1 and 2 through a commercial non-governmental messaging application. Well, that's a dumb thing to do, Bolton. At some point between when Bolton left government service in September 2019 and July 2021, a cyber actor believed to be associated with the Islamic Republic of Iran hacked Bolton's personal email account and gained unauthorized access to the classified and national defense information in that account, which Bolton had previously emailed to individuals 1 and 2 while he was national security advisor. A representative for Bolton notified the U.S. government of the hack in or about July 2021, but did not tell the U.S. government account contained national defense information, including classified information that Bolton had placed in his account from his time as national security advisor. Then he goes on to say this. In at least one communication, Bolton also referred to individuals 1 and 2 as his editors, so claiming that they were his editors, but as Viva Fry points out, it seems more likely that they are related to John Bolton. On or about July 15th, 2018, Individual 2 sent Bolton and Individual 1 a message stated, do we get a diary today? Individual 1 responded, don't think he can do it on this trip. Bolton later added, too much going on. I've done much of Friday in London because I didn't take many notes and wanted to get it down before I forgot. I'd love to see the context or the content of some of these documents. So I wonder just how free and open he was with his editors, a.k.a. probably his wife and daughter. But he's just one of many, many deep staters being held to account for their innumerable crimes. As we said, Jack Smith is now being referred for disbarment as well as a misconduct probe, which I would hope would end in some form of criminal charge, which, again, I think just can come simply from the fact that he never actually went through the process he was supposed to go through to do the things that he did actually do. So in the same way that I can't put on a police officer uniform and go arrest people or charge people fines, you can't just declare yourself a U.S. attorney and go start, you know, subpoenaing records for people. There's actually a process you have to go through. The whole intention of that process being to prevent it being political, to prevent people from persecuting their political enemies. So they circumvented that. He was never approved by the Senate. He was just anointed by Merrick Garland, who gave him free rein to go after Trump about whenever or whatever he wanted. Called Georgia, 2020 election fraud, January 6th, like whatever. Just go get him on something, anything. And you have, you know, inordinate power to do so. Totally fraudulent, all fraudulent from the top to bottom. You don't have to prove anything. It's just on the face of it. He was not allowed to do the things he did. Disbarment should be the first step of a mini-step process eventually ending in his incarceration. Like, when are we going to get serious about some of this stuff? And when are we going to start feeling the effects of all of the corruption that's being wrapped up right now? As I said just a few minutes ago, we've got this story about a popular Democrat activist in Charlotte, North Carolina, being caught for $14.5 million in fraud. You also have this. The DOJ has finally brought charges against Antifa and supercharged them with terrorism enhancements. First on Fox, DOJ brings first Antifa-related terrorism charges in the Texas ICE attack. And again, we can go through the actual, like, what actually happened that day is just, again, insane. I just, like, keep talking about it. Like, nobody seems to recognize how crazy this is. Let me read this. The attack. Late at night on the 4th of July, 2025, a North Texas Antifa cell of at least 11 operatives clad in black and donning masks, some of whom were wearing body armor and carrying firearms, attacked the Prairieland Detention Center in Alvarado, Texas. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security was using Prairieland to house illegal aliens awaiting deportation. Members of the Antifa cell began shooting fireworks towards the facility and vandalizing vehicles in a guard shed. Alarmed at the presence of people near the facility late at night, DHS correctional officers inside the facility went outside to investigate. Other DHS personnel called the local police for assistance. Within minutes, an officer from the Alvarado Police Department arrived on scene, stepped out of his cruiser, and began issuing commands to a black-clad figure running towards another black-clad figure holding a rifle. One Antifa member, Co-Conspirator 1, yelled, "Get to the rifles!" Seconds later, Conspirator 1 opened fire on the officers, striking the Alvarado police officer in the neck area as the unarmed correctional officers ducked and ran for cover. The wounded officer fell to the ground but was able to return a few shots. Co-Conspirator 1 continued to fire additional rounds until his rifle jammed. The attackers then left the scene. Police arrested most of the Antifa cell shortly after the attack, many near the scene of the attack, including Zachary Evitz. Police arrested Cameron Arnold the following day. I mean, how is this not a bigger deal? How was this not the top story for weeks on end? There has been more coverage of a non-existent bribe to Tom Homan than there is this multi-stage ambush of Antifa against an ICE facility in Texas. There's been more coverage of a couple of Republicans having a spicy group chat than there ever was of the fact that there was a 10-person strong cell of domestic terrorists firing fireworks to lure out officers to then fire on them from pre-staged firing positions. Get to the rifles, right? Stage two is happening. Let's keep following the plan that we've laid out. And this is like it's not even a top story. It's like nobody even cares. Am I going crazy? How is this not a much, much bigger story? And if it was a bigger story, would people not maybe understand why ICE, a little bit paranoid, wants to have fences around their, outlets, wants to have protection from local police? They're acting like ICE are being, Gestapo. They're the Nazis stomping around arresting citizens. Doesn't happen. Every case of people being arrested, and you can find articles where it's like, ICE arrest a American citizen. This is horrible. And the story is that, like, they'll arrest somebody, they hold him for 2 hours, they confirm his identity, they let him go. Sorry. Sorry about that. You are the one American citizen amongst 50 illegal immigrants who are all telling us, no, I'm a citizen. None of them are citizens. So they don't believe you either. It's like, obviously, they're not just going to take your word for it and let you go. You got to actually prove it. But that's the worst thing that's happened. So far, the worst thing that's happened as a consequence of ICE is that some American citizens have been detained briefly and then let go. On the other hand, the things that have been done to ICE are multiple instances of snipers attacking them and shooting police officers, in this case, in a coordinated mob attack with rifles, fireworks, explosives, and a multi-step operation plan. crazy. So at least two of them have now been charged as terrorists, as they should be. But the fact that that's not a much, much bigger story and doesn't continue to be a significant story shows you just the bias of them, the absolute insane bias of the media, who will spend weeks on end, you know, arguing about stuff that doesn't exist, like Tom Homan taking a $50,000 bribe, and ignore literal violent militia terrorist attacks against ICE officers. And that was like an early one. There have been two or three ever since then. But on the topic of things that the mainstream media, ignores / makes up, let's go to clip 8 here. This is Bill O'Reilly asking Tom Homan about the accusation that he took $50,000 that nobody has substantiated and yet became a major talking point. I don't think we ever showed the clip, but J.D. Vance had a great comeback where George Stephanopoulos, Slobonopoulos, what's his name, was asking him about Tom Homan and this $50,000 bribe. And he asked him for like 5 minutes. And J.D. Vance is like, we're getting peace in the Middle East. We're talking to Ukraine. You have an interview with the vice president and you spent the whole time talking about a story that doesn't exist. But that's what they do. They create narratives from nothing and they ignore real things happening. Here's Tom Homan reacting to this accusation and pointing out how just utterly ridiculous the whole idea even is. Let's watch.
I know George Stephanopoulos is one of your best friends. Mm-hmm. He convicted you on television. Mm-hmm. Okay. Of a $50,000 bribe. Stephanopoulos did this on ABC. The vice president, J.D. Vance, defended you. And I thought he did so pretty well, because due process is important. Do you want to clarify anything about that situation?
I didn't take $50,000 from anybody.
Okay. How did that get into the mainstream, do you think?
I have no idea. Look, there's been hit pieces on me since I came back to this administration. There's got to be 30, 40 hit pieces on me about how I'm involved with contracts and government contracts, when in fact, day one I came back, I recused myself from any discussions on any contract or any monetary decisions like that because I used to have a company that did consulting. So I cleared myself day one. What people don't talk about is I took a significant, huge pay cut to come back and serve my nation. And I'm not enriching myself doing this job.
Does this make you angry that they're coming at you this way?
I don't care what people think about me and never have. No, because I know who I am. I work for the greatest president in the history of this nation, in my opinion. And we're doing the right thing every day.
Okay.
So how funny is that? He's like, I've never taken $50,000 from anybody. That's ridiculous. But also, he had a very lucrative private company that he gave up to go work for Trump. So they're saying he's taking a $50,000 bribe when he's probably lost millions of dollars doing what he's doing. As if he's going to take a $50,000 bribe when he could just keep making millions of dollars. It's ridiculous, but these are the people we're talking about. They're ridiculous.
I'm jacked up on the meth lane. Blue is the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures about it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took
10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexShowStore.com.
The War Room is on. We'll be joined at the bottom of the hour by Wid Lyman to talk about what he's been witnessing at the Broadview, Illinois Immigration Center. It's been the site of riot after riot. You know, it's Friday. Usually we like to start off the show on Fridays with a little bit of fun. We start off with the Daily Dispatch today, but let's have some more fun, shall we? As we get closer to Halloween, we have to remember not everybody scares the same, right? Some people more scared, some people are less. This is a wonderful little skit about what really scares the liberals. Here's a liberal haunted house. Let's watch.
Hey, how's it going?
No!
What's wrong?
No!
iCash Hotel and finally releasing the Epstein files.
Trump.
Donald Trump is not on the list.
What?
However, Jimmy Kimmel and Lin-Manuel Miranda showed up 35,000 times.
No!
Breaking news. CNN has just confirmed that Michelle Obama is a man.
They're putting dementia on the planning on Cheetos.
Oh my god, it's RFK Jr.
Just as a cheetah, he's robbing our kids of their memory.
Ah, ah.
Sorry, Buster, you're going back to your country.
Stop, he didn't do anything wrong.
Oh no, I actually just killed the guy.
No!
Okay, one matcha, that'll be $500.
Why is it so expensive?
Trump put a 5,000% tariff on matcha.
Oh my god!
Okay, sounds good. Here's my EBT card.
We don't do EBT.
Oh my god! Exit. Hello?
Dude, what's up?
Wait.
Hey, is he bothering you?
Yes, the National Guard is here. Can you arrest this man? He's with Antifa!
No! I'm not with Antifa! I'm not with Antifa!
Wow, that was so thrilling.
There's no escape, liberals. We're not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with us. Of course, they're trying to break out. Because, you know, they recognize that Trump, he's making himself a king. They're not going to allow that. So we know they have a very sincere and deeply held beliefs that have to do with liberty and justice, right? These are things the left absolutely loves. Here's another little skit about the No Kings protest. Clip 22. Let's watch.
No Kings. Unless it was during the pandemic when all the mom and pop businesses were shut down, but the government said it was totally fine for all the major super rich corporations to continue operating. But I didn't really care because as long as I could get my Starbucks and go to Target, I was fine. No kings. Except during the pandemic when we told people that they would lose their job unless they took a certain medical product or they couldn't even go into certain restaurants without vaccine paperwork. That was crazy. But I didn't really care because I just complied. No kings. Remember when we also told people that they had to not visit their loved ones that were sick and dying in the hospital, the elderly? They had to die alone. That was really sad. We shut down the schools, completely wrecked the developmental learning for a whole generation. I mean, that was tragic, but we don't really talk about that because that's over now. New outrage, no kings. Remember when we were told over and over if we got that medical product, we for sure would not get sick. And even though the people that got it immediately did get sick, we were for sure told they wouldn't spread it. And then that gradually became, well, like 95%, like 75%. Okay, there's no evidence it does what we told everyone it does, but we've already made everyone take it that would anyway. And no one really cared because it's new outrage time, no kings. And do you remember during that time, anyone who tried to bring attention to these issues on social media was censored or their account was banned? And limiting free speech at that time seemed okay to me. I didn't really think about it. No kings. You don't hate authoritarianism. You just hate what you're told to hate by the algorithm and the news outlets. Be so for real. I just wish the anti-authoritarian energy was present during actual tyranny from both the federal and local governments during that time. But no, of course not. And it's not authoritarianism if the majority of the people voted for it, both popular vote and electoral votes. People wanted the border secure. So settle down and start thinking for yourself. Turn off the TikTok. It's going to be okay.
I think you should just shut up. I'm not as nice as that young lady. I think you need to shut up forever. We'll get into the No Kings protests on the other side, and yeah.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one, and this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app, and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at X.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We're going to talk about the No Kings rally now. And I don't even know what, it's like they have to couch all of their crap in our language. They have to. Because if they were to tell you what they actually believe, nobody would go for it. So they have to pretend like what they're doing is just classic Americana. It's about liberty. They're invoking the Declaration of Independence. Does it not drive everyone crazy? Does this not make everyone as mad as it makes me that the people literally tearing down Thomas Jefferson statues turn around and try to quote him to justify their actions? Nobody see this? This is what I don't get. I can understand if you just have a difference of opinion, if your values are different than mine and we don't, you know, quite align on things. But you've got so many people out there that simultaneously hold in their heads the idea that we have to have a No Kings rally, and that this is a second Declaration of Independence, but also the very people that wrote the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights, who established the world that these people uphold as the, you know, the greatest example of, you know, powered by the people. And I mean, everything they love and say they believe, the human rights, the restrictions of the government, like they're invoking all this stuff while simultaneously they want to destroy everything that was actually built by those people. Like, do these two ideas not collide in their brains? Where they're like, and, you know, part of it is just like, is just anger at their dishonesty, is just being infuriated at the blatant hypocrisy that is just constantly on display. But it's like first you hear it and it just sort of makes you confused. You're like, why are they quoting Thomas Jefferson? This doesn't make any sense. Then you kind of get mad. You're like, all right, these bastards are using our beliefs, using the American system to try to justify their communist revolution. That's infuriating. Not exactly new, but very infuriating. You know, the leader of the Viet Cong in Vietnam, the, you know, communists that overthrew that country, quoted Thomas Jefferson in his inaugural speech, like, you can take a lot of Thomas Jefferson out of context, talk about the rights of man and, you know, all this stuff, but it's a lie. It's an absolute lie. But then it gets to me to this, like, I don't know what to call it. Sort of just like hopelessness, black-pilled, just, you just go, these people don't even realize. They don't even know what they're doing, like, and that to me is the thing that it's like impossible to overcome, is how do you have these people who you can't talk to, you can't get through to them. Their motivations are good in a way. And it's what they always do, I guess. You know, now I'm thinking about it. Black Lives Matter, no kings. Like, they always choose a phrase, anti-fascist. Like, they choose a phrase that sounds good to get people on their side, but it pretty much has nothing to do with what they're actually talking about. Just like how Black Lives Matter led to a massive increase in black people being murdered by other black people because they defunded the police and the crime rates skyrocketed. Or how, you know, the anti-fascist movement is actually just part and parcel with fascism. It's just, it's the brown shirts, the black shirts going around saying that you deserve to be physically attacked if you don't conform to their ideas. It's authoritarianism in its most, you know, the lowest form. So I guess I should be used to it by now, but I still look at these people and just, it's like, you're so close. You're so close to understanding what's actually going on here. But there's something fundamentally offset from the initiation. And I don't know exactly how to deal with that other than just defeat them utterly and not listen to them anymore, because nothing they say means anything. They are as fraudulent as you can possibly be. And I don't see how more people don't realize this. Like, we'll go to a video here. This is AOC. Clip 21. And at first she's talking about how the Trump administration is saying the No Kings rally is anti-American. You know, probably because it's sponsored by a bunch of A, foreigners, B, communist groups. C, they keep talking about how much they hate America. And she's very offended by this. But of course she wasn't offended when she was calling Trump supporters un-American. It's just, there's no consistency here. There's no actual belief system here. And that just makes me mad. Let's just go to AOC now.
If I, as a Democrat, disagree with you as a Republican, I'm not going to question your motive. I'm not going to question your allegiance to this country. We are actually stoking division in our country. When we call those who disagree with us un-American, that is what is un-American.
Because that right there, that kind of attitude is what is actually anti-American. That kind of attitude is what is actually treasonous, is to attack our Constitution and to attack the obligations that we have in our Constitution, to attack free speech, to attack the powers of Congress, to erode our ability to investigate and conduct oversight. That is what is un-American. And this administration and Kristi Noem spits on the American flag every time she does that nonsense.
Wow, very, very compelling. No, very, very interesting stuff. I mean, you don't even need really the second clip where she's talking about the Trump administration. In that first clip, she just immediately contradicts herself. To call somebody un-American, that's un-American. Well, wait, but you just called. Yeah, but it's just, I mean, do you understand? Like, that you have to have a level of stupidity. It's truly astonishing to even try to make sense of what she's saying. And again, it's constant, and they have this way of just implanting ideas in people's heads, and it just sticks there, and it just doesn't matter what the truth is. The Tom Homan thing's a great example. Just somebody came up with that at some point. Somebody said it. Somebody else reported it. Haven't seen any proof of it. He denies it. But they're going to say it. They're going to say it from now until forever. Anytime Tom Homan gets brought up, they'll say, well, he was caught taking a $50,000 bribe. It just doesn't mean anything. And it's not just them. Like, the AOCs, I can say, okay, she just isn't that smart. And, you know, her job as a Democrat is to try to frame everything as if they're standing up for America. And they don't actually believe in the Constitution. You get that, right? Do I need to tell you this? They're in favor of, like, maybe 4 out of the 5, or, you know, 4 out of the 10 things enumerated in the Bill of Rights. They don't actually believe anything. And what they do believe is just nonsensical. I was watching a video today, And, you know, people just drop this stuff like it's true, where they say, you know, well, the Republicans, they pretend to like free speech, but they're banning books from schools for not being ideologically in line with them. Just never happened. It just never happened. It's just, that's just not a thing that's occurring. What is occurring is that pornographic material was seeded into elementary schools by a variety of NGOs deliberately to try to get your kid to be trans. It's part of a big movement that thankfully now is starting to reverse because Trump stepped in and stopped the propaganda supporting it. And that type of, I mean, there's like a million examples of that exact thing where they just genuinely don't know anything that's going on. And the things that you can just, like, if you were to just describe what's going on to a space alien, to somebody from 100 years in the past, it's so baffling what they've decided to hang their hat on. And it's the reason why Caroline Leavitt made this statement. We'll go to the video. And this got everybody mad. Oh, my God. They're all so pissed off at this. This is basically what AOC was just responding to. It's clip number 6 here. And this is Caroline Leavitt making just a very obvious and simple point that makes them mad because it's just on the face of it true. And that maybe it's just the fact that it's true makes them so angry. But they want to take this out of context and portray it like Caroline Leavitt is insulting Americans when it's very clear what she's saying. And all you have to do is listen to it yourself and not be a psychotic brainwashed leftist. And it's impossible to disagree with. Here's Caroline Leavitt telling everybody who the Democrats see as their constituents.
Proved that the Democrat Party's main constituency are made up of Hamas terrorists, illegal aliens, and violent criminals. That is who the Democrat Party is catering to, not the Trump administration and not the White House and not the Republican Party, who is standing up for law-abiding Americans, not just across the country, but around the world. And that's
Do I need to explain what she's saying? She's saying that the Democrats aren't serving the American people. They're keeping the government shut down, trying to get health care for illegals. The shutdown's hurting Americans, but they're carrying it out in order to get health care for illegals. Whose side are they on? Who are they doing that for? Not Americans. They're doing it for illegals. So again, they try to portray that as AOC just said, like, that's just horrible. We can disagree, but you're not supposed to say people are un-American. They try to portray it like Caroline Leavitt is insulting the American people. No, she's describing the priorities of the Democratic Party. That is who they serve. Illegal aliens, Hamas terrorists, anti-American people, whoever. Of course, a large part of their constituency is also pedophiles and trannies and the indigent. So, you know, she left them out. But it's not the American people. And it's certainly not American people who actually do what they're supposed to and benefit society as a whole. Democrats do everything they possibly can to disadvantage and screw those people over. Is this not obvious? Do people not know this? Again, I don't even understand. Like, they don't even have to try. People just, it's just in their mind that Democrats are the good guys, Republicans are the bad guys. And it's like no amount of evidence will ever be enough to show what's really going on. And it's just, it's honestly beyond infuriating. And we can look at, you know, who these other people are that what other Democrats are encouraging people to do. Let's go to clip 15 here. This is Gavin Newsom, I believe, who, again, is still setting himself up to be some sort of, leader of the Confederacy, leader of the Western Alliance with Trump, saying that this No Kings protest is a declaration of independence. Let's watch.
No Kings, a declaration of independence against the tyranny, against lawlessness in the context that there was no rule of law. It was the rule of king. And I think increasingly people are waking up to the rule of law in this country, increasingly appearing to be the rule of dawn. And I hope it's dawning on people how precious this moment is and what's at stake. And so I hope people put a stake in the ground, take the opportunity and time to participate this weekend, but again, do so peacefully, with a deep realization of the consequences and what the founding fathers were all about.
Slavery? What the founding fathers were all about? Raping their slaves, Gavin Newsom? Is that what you're talking about? These people. It's just never, you know, there's no line they won't cross. There's nothing they won't say. They just believe absolute nothing, and just say whatever the hell they think they need to get people on their side. Founding fathers, you know, can invoke a patriotic feeling. Great, say that. But in the meantime, you're tearing down their statues and calling them racist and trying to erase their, you know, portraits from the courtroom because they're old white men and you hate white people. I mean, it's just exhausting. And again, you know, going back to what I was saying, like transgenderism, illegal immigration. I mean, this stuff is genuinely insane. They say, you know, every example they could possibly point to of what makes Donald Trump a tyrant, what makes him authoritarian, is just literally the law. It's just the law. We have decency laws. You're not allowed to expose children to indecent material. You can't have it in their elementary school. It has to be taken out. Oh my God, they're burning books. They're tyrants. It's illegal to come into this country and avoid deportation and overstay your visa, and so you get deported. Oh my God, ICE is tearing people out of their homes. It's just every single thing they point to is just a literal and specific application of laws that have been on the books since the beginning of this country, because it actually forms the basis of government itself. The whole reason government exists is to protect those inside a country from those outside of the country. And they're going to invoke the founding fathers. If George Washington was around, he would be at the front of the army being led to kill all of you. I'm not even kidding. Look up the Whiskey Rebellion. Our president actually marched on people who were acting just like the left is acting right now. It is beyond absurd. I don't even know what to make of it anymore. Let's go to clip 14 here. Here's Don Lemon, and this is just, it's like, even if I was on their side, and this is the point. This is why I think I'm like having trouble getting to any of this, is because like I try to put myself in their mindset. I try to imagine like what would it be like if I believed this stuff or thought like these people. And you realize, you know, like you have to be stupid. You genuinely have to not be very intelligent or not be able to think for yourself to believe any of this crap. Because in a lot of things, we seem like we do believe similar things. Whenever it's convenient for them, they'll pretend to believe what we believe. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, all right, if I actually thought for some reason illegal immigrants deserve to stay in this country because they happen to arrive here, I can't even, it's hard to even justify that, but okay, let's pretend I believe that, you know, borders are just lines in the ground, the sand, man, like they don't really mean anything. Would I tell illegal immigrants to arm themselves and to shoot at ICE officers? If my goal was to get illegal immigrants killed by ICE officers, I might say that. If my goal was to give ICE officers every excuse they need to militarize their raids, that's the type of advice I would give. But this is the ultimate frustration, is it's like even putting myself in your mindset, even if I believed everything you believe, everything you're saying is retarded and wrong. So what is going on? Why is everyone so stupid? Let's go to Don Lemon here, telling foreigners in our country to arm themselves and to fire at our law enforcement officers. Why has he not been arrested today? Let's watch.
Black people, brown people of all stripes, whether you're an Indian American or a Mexican American or whoever you are, go out in your place where you live and get a gun legally. Get a license to carry legally. Because when you have people knocking on your door and taking you away without due process as a citizen, isn't that what the Second Amendment was written for? Go back and read what the Second Amendment says. And perhaps it will knock some sense in the head, in the heads of these people who are saying, well, it's all great. I don't believe they're doing it without due process. They're asking people for papers. They're not really beating people up. These people are doing things that are illegal. Nobody is illegal. It is a misdemeanor to cross the border.
Nobody is illegal. Is this not what the Second Amendment? No, this is not what the Second Amendment is about. If the Second Amendment were to be used as intended, as written in the Bill of Rights, then Donald Trump would have invoked the Insurrection Act. The militia, as detailed in the Second Amendment, a.k.a. American citizens, would have armed themselves and just be out there killing illegal immigrants. That's actually what it's for. It's the Second Amendment is so the American people can defend themselves from foreigners, from criminals, and from their own government being tyrannical. It's not there to defend them from the government applying the law as written, you absolute moron. It's not there so foreigners can come into our country and kill our law enforcement, you absolute psychopath. Like, what is wrong with these people? And again, there's just something that just grinds my gears when you've got people like Don Lemon pretending to approve of the Second Amendment. Or the First Amendment, for that matter. The people that tell you hate speech isn't free speech are suddenly all about the First Amendment. The people who just want every authoritarian measure in the book to throw Trump supporters into camps, they suddenly are terrified of authoritarianism and they don't want kings, like they aren't already being ruled by a cabal of semi-noble, like, frauds like George Soros passing his kingdom down to his son. I mean, at a certain point, like, why, like, how is that not a call to violence? This is not up for discussion. This is not a debate. Illegal immigrants are illegal. That is just the law. The no law has ever been written to open our borders. No law has ever been written to say that just because you downloaded an app from Alejandro Mayorkas, now we can't arrest you and send you back to the country you came from. Again, it's just, what do these people think is going on? What do they think is happening? It's the same, like, there's videos going viral yesterday of a guy going, billionaires are trying to convince people to hate migrants. How can you possibly be so wrong? How can you possibly believe something like that? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but this is like a very widespread thing. They think the billionaires, who are the sole reason we have immigrants, because it boosts their profits and allow them to pay slave wages for their labor. People who run the Tide Foundation, which is the biggest conglomerate of multinationals the world has ever seen, and spend millions of dollars paying the legal bills of migrants just so they can pay them pennies on the dollar to work in the fields. Who do you think you're helping here? How did you ever get it in your mind that billionaires hate migrants? How can you be that retarded? I don't understand it. And really, like, all of this comes from that video we saw from With Lyman, of the woman dressed like the Statue of Liberty. They're dressing themselves up in American iconography as they demand the death of America. And it's just like, what do we need to do? How do we make people realize what's really going on? And how do we encourage our side even to have just like 3% of the fervor that the left has? They are fervent. They are radical. They're out there like getting arrested and getting maced in the face off of complete and utter fabrications and lies.
I also noticed your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you get, find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, AlexJonesStore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue, you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while,
if you don't mind, I'm a bottle that fills too.
You like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah. It's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
I just recommend the people personal relationship with God, praying to God, saying, I want to be good. I want to recognize truth. I want to know what truth is. I want to open myself up to you. I'm an imperfect. I repent for what I've done. I want you to cleanse me and then show me the truth and then show me how to be a better person. And then show me after that what the mission is you have for me. And literally, if you do that through a process, it may take days, may take months, may take years. Then the adventure begins, and then all of a sudden you're being given like intel and stuff, like and like literally just you have to learn to go with it. It's never wrong, and it's God, and it's there, and it's your personal relationship. And then obviously people get this relationship; they all want to teach other people it. And God says, "Get together in groups." That's great, but Christ didn't try to go get the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the priest class to join him. He said their minds were closed. He went to the prostitutes and the tax collectors. And the robbers, the thieves, because they were already outcasts. But that's where he found people that were already under evil's control but weren't arrogant about it, who were looking for a way out. And so, I mean, I think that's really what it comes down to, is a spiritual relationship with God. And there are some real churches and things.
But don't you find that? I know I have found that. You see sparks of this in the most unlikely people. If you put a list on paper of the people in your life, I won't ask you to say it out loud, but who you really trust, or you talk to and you groove with them and they like know exactly what you're saying. You know, they are on the same wavelength in some deep way. It's not the people you would expect. Have you ever noticed that?
Absolutely. Most people get into media because they want to be movie stars. Most people become a preacher because they want to, you know, because they want to be famous and have power. And then you'll find like just the most just normal, unassuming person that has all this great knowledge.
Yes.
Because they already have all the power. They don't need power. And so it's just...
They're connected to God's power? Is that what you mean?
Absolutely. And it's quite the quest because so many people are lost and really it's an inside job. They've got to somehow open up the channel to God and then they'll see everything that's happening. And then God will give them a message and a mission of what they should do. And I don't want to say all churches are bad. Because there's a lot of good people in the churches regardless. It's just that the last 120 years, the Rockefeller Foundation, the ecumenical movement, and all of that has really moved into the churches. We see that with all the rainbow flags and all, you know, the famous cathedrals in England now festooned with all the leftist, you know, graffiti and garbage. I mean, it's been captured is my point.
God is gay.
But people can't get turned off by that and say, well, God's dead. No, no. Satan has occupied the so-called temples, but God isn't in the temple. God is inside us.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're tuned in to the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, folks. This is War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Very happy to welcome my guest, Wid Lyman. He is there on the ground at the Broadview Detention Center, or the ICE facility, that has been the site of ongoing riots for the last little while. It's sort of our weekly check-in, Wid. You can follow Wid on X at Wid_Lyman and see all of the videos that he's captured with Border Hawk News at Infowars.com. The headline, violent agitators arrested outside Chicago ICE facility. And we can play some of these videos and get your comments on them. But, Wid, what is the atmosphere there in Illinois?
Harrison, good to be with you. Thanks for having me again in the War Room. Fair warning to your audience, if there's still protesters here, so if they play songs or shout obscenities, and I'll pan the camera over here in a second, but there are some obscenities on the wall there. So fair warning to you and your audience here. But no, we had a Friday morning protest. About 100 people came out, and some folks were in the street battling away at state police and some of the local cops as well. We have not seen federal assets out here as of yet, but we are seeing a lot of law enforcement from Illinois.
And you're seeing a lot of arrests happen, and we have a few of those videos, and we can go to some of those now. And I just want to get sort of the behind the scenes, what's actually happening. We played this video a few times, so we can play clip 11 here. It's when the woman with the in the Statue of Liberty outfit was arrested. So what happens here? There's people protesting, and then the cops sort of seem to identify singular people and pull them out of the crowd. Why are they pulling them out? What did they do that led to the arrest?
What was that?
Yeah, so that was a pretty long little standoff for probably about 5 minutes. The state police is pushing pretty hard to have people not be in the roadway as cars go to and from. So that area right there, what you're seeing is sort of the end of that little bit of conflict. People were getting into the road, partially in the road, and then state police had kind of had enough of what was happening there. So they arrested two people at that moment. I believe there are a total of about 12 arrests today, possibly a few more. But that was a long standoff. You know, what we're seeing a lot here is protesters have a sort of designated area. That's the concrete barriers that you're seeing, and they're not allowed to be in the roadway per police. So anytime there's people in the roadway, you're going to have conflict. Again, that was towards the end of the protest there. But what you're seeing now is during the main conflict this morning, when a group of about 50 were standing in the roadway and police were instructing them to leave, and they took offense to that.
And so you've been there for a while now, and you were on with us last week. Has the atmosphere changed much? Last week you were saying the feds were kind of having trouble keeping a lid on things, and the state police would show up and sort of clamp down. And you were really sort of impressed, I think, with the way the state police were handling things. Is that still the case? How have things developed over the time period you've been there?
Still the case. State really controls the roadway here. Local cops, Broadview, are kind of on some of the other roads. And then we have Cook County, the sheriff's office here as well. But the feds really aren't getting involved in crowd control in front of the building here. Like we saw earlier, a couple weeks ago, they were the only ones dealing with the crowd that was in front of the detention facility. But now it's mostly just the state. And, you know, it kind of has a twofold effect. One is they have a ton of training and resources and tactics to deal with large crowds. As you're seeing, they have, you know, the riot batons, they have gear, they have medical, they're filming the whole thing, versus the feds are a slightly different angle. Not to mention the second part is that the protesters don't really want to battle the state police or the local cops. They want to protest the federal involvement. So anytime the feds leave this area or head into the city, you know, you're going to see more of a skirmish issue because the local cops just can't follow them around the whole time. But what you're seeing out front is a pretty coordinated effort by the state.
And obviously tomorrow is the No Kings protest. I imagine they're preparing for a much larger showing tomorrow. Do you have any evidence of the preparations being made?
Yeah, so that protest is going to take place in downtown Chicago. There's going to be tens of thousands of people showing up, and millions across the country are going to be protesting. I'm sure Austin, D.C., you're going to have a lot of people coming out as well. It is supposed to rain a little bit, so we'll see what that does to the folks, but the city is likely preparing a fair amount. And then, you know, there's no word yet on if they'll come to the Broadview here, which is about 30 minutes outside of the city. So if the protests start early, it could be a long day for everybody. I don't want to see any rain, you know. Filming in the rain, Harrison, is extremely, it's worse than being in the protest, to be honest.
Well, you know, unfortunately, the government shut down, so the weather control systems are offline. We're just going to have to, you know, go with whatever nature gives you there. So have you been able to talk to protesters or the police? I mean, we've seen a lot of, you know, videos of the scuffles and stuff, and obviously that's very interesting footage, but you don't learn very much from it in terms of, like, what's driving people to do this and how they feel about what's going on. Have you had a chance to talk to people and get their, you know, reason why they're there and what's motivating them?
Yeah, so police overall are pretty positive. They kind of give you boilerplate statements, just want to keep people safe, want to protect the roadway, make sure nobody gets hurt. The state police does a pretty good job of crowd control and communicating with who they appear to be leaders in the crowd. The crowd, though, is very much here because they don't like the federal government. They don't like ICE. This is largely an anti-ICE protest. If you're okay, I'll pan and you can kind of see what's going on the side here. Just give you a good little view of what some of these people feel. Again, if there's profanity, I'll try to shield it.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, they're anti-ICE is the big push right here. So the costumes are out in full effect, like we've seen there in Portland. And they're here to demonstrate, have a party, play music, and complain about what ICE is doing in their neighborhood here. You know, the verbiage here, I think, is important, though, Harrison. They're using terms like, you know, kidnapping, ICE out of our city, federal takeover. You know, when Commander Bovino was talking about how, you know, Chicago has some third world elements to it, they take offense to that. It's basically just anything to do with the federal government, you know, kidnapping our neighbors, taking our friends off the streets. So that's really the big push here is anti-ICE.
Yeah, it's just, I'm struggling this whole day. I'm just kind of struggling to like, is there any hope of convincing these people? Like, do they not understand that there are illegal immigrants that are being deported? Like, who do they think they're standing up for? They think borders just shouldn't exist. Like, it's just bizarre to me that you've got all these people using language like that, like oh, we're anti-federal government. These people aren't anti-federal government, right? I mean, they're all in favor of the federal government doing things that they like. They just don't want illegal immigrants deported. It's like, how are we supposed to deal with these people? Like, this is the law. It's being enforced in a proper way. I worry that they're just crying wolf. And when the government does something tyrannical, they're going to be nowhere to be found. I'm just struggling with how to deal with this, with our fellow Americans being so off the mark and protesting for something that's so asinine and insane. How do we deal with this, Whit? Do you have any advice for me? I'm just black-pilled at this point.
It's a great question, and I love that question, Harrison, because you are seeing people try to have some kind of debate about this issue. But to me, it's all about framing and perspective. If you truly believe that masked Nazis are coming into your neighborhood and kidnapping your neighbors, there's really nothing, there's nowhere to go with that, right? You're talking about worst case scenario, you know, dating back to World War II era stuff. So I don't think that you can necessarily reason with that. You could just sort of help with terms. You know, why are these people masked? Why are they coming into your neighborhood? Who is your neighbor? And then go from there. And if a lot of people, I think, are totally fine with people being here illegally, I mean, there were tons of protesters this morning talking about no borders, no walls, no human is illegal. You know, we're here all on stolen land anyway. So at that point, you just have to talk about terms and then hopefully you can find some level of common ground. But again, if your perspective is that rooted in masked Nazis are kidnapping my neighbors, you know, where do you go from there? Because there is nowhere to go from there.
Right. It's like trying to, you know, tell a schizophrenic they're not being gang stalked. It's like, well, they really believe it, even though it's not real and it's not true and it's not happening. You know, it's like trying to convince people that they're not being hunted by Bigfoot. It's like, okay, I guess they're just delusional. It just, there's something about the fact that they call it the No Kings, you know, day, and they're invoking the founding fathers, you know, as if they're, you know, carrying on an American tradition. And it's just like, this is just, it's just asinine and ridiculous. And actually I have a video, I believe, that actually responds to what you were asking about Tom Homan. I may not have brought the video in, but, you know, talk a little bit more about the masking and why our federal officers are being forced to wear masks. And, you know, is there any way to explain to these people it's not because they're jackbooted thugs ripping Americans at it, but they're actually under threat and they're being doxxed? Like, again, does any of this break through to people? They want them to not wear masks. They want to identify them, right? Why wouldn't the police be wearing masks? I mean, is there, again, I'm just struggling. How do you deal with delusional people? And I really don't have any answers for it.
Yeah. So the rhetoric here is masked, unidentified people are kidnapping our neighbors, right? So I was in immigration court documenting what was happening in Virginia, and 10 agents approached me all masked, telling me that I was going to be detained. And they had the name wrong. They thought I was someone else, but they identified themselves. They said what they were doing. They said why they were doing it. I didn't get, you know, a first name or anything like that, but it was very clear what was happening. And that was a firsthand experience of someone being slightly detained. And I immediately explained, I was like, oh, no, that's not who I am. I'm a reporter. I'm here to document what's happening. So I think you have to sort of explain all of that. You have to say, hey, like, there's a reason why these people are being masked is because other protesters are showing up at their houses. There's bounties on some of these people's head between $2,000 and $50,000. There are multiple groups online of people putting out information on these agents, following them home. We've had multiple issues just in the last few days of agents being rammed by groups in Chicago here. So I think that the level of danger is so high, and maybe it's created by some of the protesting itself. So they have to be very careful about what they're doing. I agree, though. Some of the optics are a little bit tough. There's no question. But I would ask, why are we here? You know,
right.
if federal government is showing up at a house and arresting people, my first question would be, why are they here? Well, what is the purpose of their visit here? Right. And if it's lawful, then it's lawful. And if it's not, then I'll stand with you.
Well, so that's interesting. Yeah. Tell us the story. So what actually happened? You were approached and they thought you were somebody else and were going to try to arrest you. How did that come about?
Yeah. So I was monitoring and watching immigration court. There's something called a master calendar hearing where a lot of people come forwards. The court establishes illegality. And then from there, they're placed into proceedings that could be asylum proceedings. It could be expedited removal of some variety. And from there, they exit the courtroom. So I was monitoring and watching that situation. And when the hearing ended, I was the first one out of the courtroom. And the agents were waiting outside to detain the illegal immigrant that was inside the courtroom. But they thought it was me, which is funny because, I don't know, it's funny. But the name didn't match. How about that? So I walked out of the courtroom, and they were like, oh, sir, you come with us. You know, we're immigration officials. And I was like, oh, no, that's not my name. This is my badge. This is my information. So we had a bit of a mix-up. But I did experience it firsthand what it was like to be surrounded by, you know, 8 masked people.
Wow. And then they took you away, and we never saw Witt again. And that's just how bad it is. So, I mean, so that's, so far,
this is an illusion.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not
that's
real.
The worst.
Not real.
That's the worst thing I've heard so far. By the way, we're showing live shots from a different angle, which is pretty cool. We can actually see you in the background, but there's somebody over by the chicken lady there, streaming for us. So that's interesting. So far, that's the worst thing I've heard. Did they even detain you, or it was just like, come with us, sir? You said, no, I'm not the person you're looking for, and that was that. That's what happens when they mistake an American citizen for an illegal immigrant. It was what, 2 minutes of inconvenience? How long did it take?
It was 25 seconds at most. Yeah, it was a detainment in the sense of, you know, they all surrounded me and they started reaching, like, you know, we're going to detain you and arrest you. It was a very, very brief stint, but they're very, very focused on targeted operations, though. They want to go after their targets. They're not doing this sort of blanket mass raid, which we've seen now for several months.
Yeah, and it looks like the live stream we're watching is a guy with a Keep America Great Again hat, or Keep America Great hat, waving an American flag. Looks like he's arguing with some of the people.
There are some counter protesters, this guy right here, and then there's a couple on this side as well.
That's what I was going to ask.
So, a sign.
And
we love ICE, so there are some counter-protesters.
How are they interacting with the protesters? Is that generally peaceful? How are the people who are counter-protesting being received?
A little bit of heckling, a little bit of conversation. Some people are booed, you know, called obscenities. But for the most part, it's like this guy, right? You know, other side. It's like this guy right here. They just kind of leave him alone.
Just stand there waving the American flag. Well, I honestly wish there were more of us out there. We could use a counter-demonstration. You know, telling these people that they're stupid because they are. I actually have the video of Tom Homan, you know, responding to the question of why there are masked agents. I want to go to this and get Witt Lyman's response on the other side. Here's Tom Homan responding to why federal officers need to have their faces concealed.
Identity. Law enforcement officials throughout this country don't get the license to do that. They have to walk up to you. They have to identify who they are. They have to make sure it's clear. An ICE agent getting to conceal their identity is not a privilege or a situation that other law enforcement officials have. Why should ICE agents have that?
Look, I don't particularly like the mask either, but name another law enforcement agency that's over 1,000% attacks on them. And name another law enforcement agency whose spouses and children have been doxxed on social media and been attacked and bullied in churches and schools. These men and women put a gun on their hip and wear a Kevlar vest to go on the streets every day, look for the worst of worst makes this country safer. Them wearing a mask, if that protects them and protects their families, then that has to be done. No one knows, you know. I remember the days some of these cities, if they weren't wearing a mask during COVID, you got reported to the police and got arrested for it. These men and women are trying to protect themselves and their families. And I, you know, again, I don't like the mask. I wish there wasn't need for it. But there's not another law enforcement agency dealing with the attacks that ICE is dealing with right now. Look, immigration enforcement, I've been doing it since 1984. It's always been controversial. It's always been emotional. But people need to remember the men and women are ICE. They don't hang their heart on a hook when they go to work. They're mothers and fathers, too. They have children, too. Mm-hmm. And they take very, very emotional things home with them every day. You know, I've done this for over 40 years.
Yeah, so that's Tom Homan responding and just pointing out nobody else gets attacked like us. Nobody else is being followed home. And it just seems like, you know, it's not really that complicated. They want ICE not to have masks. The judge in Oregon just demanded that they take down the fence. They're literally just demanding that ICE remove things that protect them because they want them attacked. I mean, I can't come to any other conclusion. Wood?
It does seem that way, doesn't it? And you know, part of what Stephen Smith was saying there was not correct. They're not able to identify themselves. So you don't necessarily need to know their specific name and date of birth and, you know, where they grew up and what's their family. You need to know who they are in terms of the law enforcement agency and you know, what's their business to be detaining you. You don't need to necessarily know all their names. And the federal government has a very different mission and operation than local law enforcement. That's a community policing idea where, you know, the village of Broadview here, it's not even quite a town. You know, those people are part of this community. They need to get to know the community. They need names. You know, the chief here is very well known. You know, he's elected to some degrees in some areas. So I think that that's a very different operation. The federal government does not have that operation. They don't need that per se. You do need to know that they're federal agents. That's 100% correct. And they identify themselves, but not the other parts. Like, I don't understand why does that matter? If I'm being detained and arrested, your name doesn't really make any difference other than perhaps you wish something evil down the road. So to me, that is a moot point as long as they're identifying that they are federal agents.
It just seems another aspect of the left genuinely forcing Trump to take on sort of authoritarian or, you know, other sort of moves that they can then object to. It's like, we wouldn't have to have police on the streets if you weren't attacking ICE agents. We wouldn't have to have them wear masks if you weren't doxing them and putting $50,000 bounties on their head. And we have another video, clip 13 here. This is a group of children, by the way. The main guy's got braces, but it's a bunch of black children making TikTok videos about how they're going to start hunting ICE agents. So let's watch this video real quick.
Blessed that he's holes on my dick because I'm fly like a jet.
They ICE, be we're on the way. Me. Word on the street. Cartels put a $50,000 bounty on y'all. And, oh, very intimidating, I'm sure. I'm sure ICE is shaking in their boots. Of course, they could get $50,000 for joining ICE and actually have a productive life. But, again, it's like this is the level of insanity we're dealing with where people are making videos with their faces saying we are hunting ICE agents and they feel comfortable doing this. Now, DHS has responded, reposting this video and going, we're on our way, cowards. But I mean, clearly they are trying to provoke a reaction, right? I mean, have you been able to talk to any federal officers and how they feel about this or, you know, whether they feel like they're in danger or not?
They feel that way considerably, whether it's at the facility, whether they're traveling, whether they're on mission for their targeted operations. We have spoken with them and they are definitely worried. I would say the most worried they are about specific targets on them when they're spotted by some of these organizations that say, hey, ICE is, you know, down the road right here. You know, come take a look. And then that gets leaked out to nefarious actors. You know, we've already seen reports of Mexican drug cartels letting local Chicago gangs know and information and telling them the same bounty that you just posted right there. They're very concerned about that. And we have seen attacks on ICE agents, rammings, you know, frontal assaults of some variety. So we're seeing that, I think, more going forwards. And they're pretty concerned. You know, the Brighton Park video that I've referenced a few times, we talked about last time, but a lot of what you saw there was, you know, chaos on both sides. The federal agents showing that they were indeed a little bit worried about that crowd growing and getting more violent by some of their tactics and some of how they exited that area. So they are definitely worried, and I don't blame them to a large degree. I mean, some of the violence coming their way is really bad. And think about it, they're the most hated law enforcement agency in the United States probably right now.
And there's just something so bizarre about the combination of these like vicious killers and people just like wanting to hunt ICE, and then half the people are dressed up in like inflatable, you know, cartoon character outfits. It's weird. It's like you've got these vicious, violent psychos, but they're all wearing clown outfits. And so it's like, what is the point of that? What do they think they're achieving there? Are they trying to humiliate ICE, or like, what is behind the weird costumes that they wear?
So there's a couple things. So one of them was people saw the Pikachu outfit that came out early in the summer. That came from a protest in one of the Asian countries, you know, Laos or Thailand or something like that. It was a symbol of their rebelling and against whatever they were protesting, likely the government. And that latched on through subreddits and other social media where it came to the United States. And Pikachu ended up being the focal point of anti-government, you know, showcasing. Just this image that kind of went super viral. Some of what you're seeing, I think, is just straight up joke. It's just clowning around, being silly. Some of it is nefarious. We talked to law enforcement and they're very concerned about some of these inflatable animals, is because you could conceal anything you want. So they're actually pretty concerned about them in general. They keep a close eye on them. Some of it is, again, just silliness in some ways, but I think it's just kind of making a mockery of some of the situation, or they're just having fun with it. I mean, there are people here right now that are just hanging out, partying. So
do any of them have jobs, Wid? I mean, how do they do this day in and day out? Are they being funded, or do they not have jobs? Like, how are they able to keep this up so persistently?
You know, there's a 24-hour encampment on the other side here, and there's someone there all the time. I can't imagine they're going to job after this. There was a guy this morning that was harassing one of the pro-Trump people, and he said he had to leave. He had to go to work. So it's a mixed bag. You know, there have been a lot of reports about paid protesters. They're certainly well-resourced. I think, you know, you did this in your open, actually. You mentioned this. This is a great point, that the rhetoric and the intensity out of some of these people completely dwarfs anything on the right. You know, they are here. They're attentive. They're organized. They're willing to stand out here day after day after day. I mean, I wouldn't want to do that at all. I mean, I'm working, but I don't want to do that. And I think that's the rhetoric. They really believe in what they're doing.
Yeah. And that again is the frustrating thing to me. I always think back to during like I think it was during the presidential campaign of like 2020 or something, a woman stormed up on stage and like she had to be hauled off, and she was protesting milk. She was a vegan that was against milk. And it's like, how do the weirdest, most like obscure, nonsensical, unimportant topics have people willing to go to jail for it and like throwing their bodies in front of cops? And it's like, we are actually fighting real tyranny. We're actually fighting for like the fate of our nation, and we can't get people to do anything. We need to work on our rhetoric, I guess, and we need to trick people harder.
You know, when they closed gyms, I was ready to start protesting at that point during COVID. So,
and maybe that's what it is. Everybody's just too comfortable. There's too much distractions for us. Wid, stay safe, man. Keep up the great work. Incredible stuff. Of course, you can find everything from Wid at borderhawk.news and Wid_Lyman on X. Again, keep up the great work and stay safe, man. And we'll talk to you again soon.
God bless. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you. And of course, the article, Violent Agitators Arrested Outside Chicago ICE Facility, on Infowars.com right now, where you can see all the footage Wid has been able to capture.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures about it.
and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to pay, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day.
Right.
And pay what? I don't know. $30, $40 a bottle of it.
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
So Keir Starmer is expected to announce plans for a digital ID scheme, which will be compulsory in order to work in the UK.
I am announcing this government will make a new free-of-charge digital ID mandatory.
A digital ID is issued or accredited by the government and requires basic biometric information to create.
Digital public infrastructure.
Was happening, there was this push for vaccine passports, and a lot of the people that were pushing or creating the vaccine passports were part of this either ID 2020 or they were part of related entities pushing for digital ID.
Eventually, what we'll have to have is certificates of who's a recovered person, who's a vaccinated person. So eventually, there will be sort of this digital immunity proof that, you know, will help facilitate the global reopening up.
A way out of this is to be able to test people several times and for people to actually have a biometric identity which can say, look, I've been tested or I've had the disease and here are my antibodies, so that life can get back to normal.
Really a separate project from CBDCs.
CBDC stands for Central Bank Digital Currency. It is a currency issued directly by the central banks.
would be programmable, meaning that just like a piece of software, the government would be able to put restrictions on it with digital rules.
It allows authorities to monitor every single payment made and received, obliterating financial privacy and anonymity.
You don't behave, you can have your money turned off.
You again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects of the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
To enter a world stranger than you have ever imagined. The world of witchcraft, magic, and ritual.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
All right, folks, welcome back. This is War Room. We have a new Truth Social post from Donald Trump about the meeting with Zelensky. He says, the meeting with President Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine was very interesting and cordial, but I told him, and I likewise strongly suggested to President Putin, that it is time to stop the killing and make a deal. Enough blood has been shed, with property lines being defined by war and guts. They should stop where they are. Let both claim victory. Let history decide. No more shooting, no more death, no more vast and unsustainable sums of money spent. This is a war that would have never started if I were president. Thousands of people being slaughtered each and every week. No more. Go home to your families in peace. Yeah, he's getting a little frustrated, it seems. Of course, that's, you know, you have to understand how all these things are so deeply intertwined. Like, there was a reason that they framed him as a Russian agent, is because they wanted this war with Ukraine and they didn't want Trump getting cozy with Russia. So they, you know, framed him as a Russian agent. So anytime he made an overture to Russia, it was more evidence of his criminality. And of course, when he started looking into what was going on in Ukraine, they impeached him over it. And we told you at the time that that was why. Told you it had nothing to do with any impropriety of the phone call or anything like that. It was fairly obvious from the beginning that they didn't want Trump pulling at the string that would unravel the whole, you know, tapestry of their corruption. From the Bidens to the Kerrys to the Newlands to the Soroses. I mean, they're all involved in the utter and complete destruction of Ukraine for the benefit of whoever's going to buy them up at rock bottom prices, Goldman Sachs or whoever else. I'm going to open up your phone calls for this last hour. The number to dial is 1-877-789-2539, 1-877-789-2539. Give us a call now on the War Room. Of course, the chat log, the leak of the Young Republicans chat group where they joked about Hitler, God forbid, continues to be a major story. And I think this post from Vince Dow TV on X sums up everything you need to know about it. I think this is like the best possible response. Basically, you have a portion of the right wing making a statement like this. This is from Mikkel Olsen, saying, yes, I'd rather lose politically than side with actual Nazis. So the response to this from Vince Dow, I think, is brilliant. He says, we're not asking you to side with Nazis. We're simply asking you not to engage in a woke humiliation ritual for the appeasement of communists who will still call you a Nazi anyway. This is the most obvious distraction op from an election scandal of all time. Imagine falling for this non-issue. You clowns would have voted for Hillary because of the Access Hollywood tape, literally. And that, I think that's the obvious incorrect way to interpret this. First of all, nobody in that chat was an actual Nazi. How do you not get this already? They call everyone Nazis, and the right wing sometimes jokes about Nazis. Again, we've gone through this. It's the headline. Literally, it's just because they put in the headline, quote, I love Hitler. And in the text messages, as we've explained a million times, it was obviously a instance of hyperbole, a joke saying, oh, if we need to be super right wing, then I'm going to be a Nazi. Ha ha. They're not Nazis, obviously. You absolute morons. But that, like, half of the right wing is going, you're expecting me to take sides with Nazis? No, we're expecting you not to fall for the same goddamn lie that the left has been telling about us for 10 years, you absolute morons. Like, I really can't understand it. And you've got people like James Lindsay was saying something about this and going, why should us respectable Republicans have to get in bed and unify with the alt-right? And it's like, have you not been paying attention to the last 10 years? The so-called conservatives, the old conservatives, conserved nothing, failed in every instance, and only have the power they have now because of the radicals on the right, because of the far right, because of us. You can call us all right. You can call us whatever the hell you want. It's us that drove the messaging. It's us that drove people out to the polls. Donald Trump didn't get elected by moderating his positions. He always went farther right, to the great ire and outrage of the very people who now feel like they have claim over his presidency. The real question is not why should the old guard unify with the new right, the alternative right. It's why should the alt-right continually be dragged down by the albatrosses around our neck, by the millstone tied to us that is the old conservatives, who continue to fall for every trick in the book, who continue to believe the lies of the left, who continue to believe that losing with honor is somehow better than winning with the truth. It's crazy. It is crazy. I'd rather lose than dot, dot, dot. That's like the new Republican motto. I'd rather lose. You know, we'd rather lose than doing the things that our voters voted us into office for. We'd rather lose than stand up for ourselves or our race or our country. We'd rather lose, which is fine if losing didn't mean literally being killed, but like that's where we're headed. When you've got Don Lemon advocating for the Second Amendment, I think you know he doesn't actually respect the Second Amendment. He just wants killing to happen. And we'll go to a video here that illustrates this. And I always point it out, and I think more people are going to start seeing this, and you'll see it everywhere if you look for it. The left desperately wants other people to do violence for them. And you see it constantly. They'll make videos where they're very sincerely calling for violence, but it's never them. Right? You've got some black children, you know, in a park somewhere going, we're going to come hunt ICE agents. Okay, sure, bro. We'll see how that goes. But for the vast majority of the left, they desperately want someone else to do violence. They really, their ultimate plan is to get a bunch of white men to do violence for them. And that's really the entirety of their, you know, willingness to engage in this. And there's just something very, like, cowardly and childish about this. And you'll hear it here. It's subtle. But once you start looking for it, you'll notice it everywhere. They want to talk tough. They want to act tough. But you can always hear the insinuation that somebody's going to come for you. So here's this guy threatening ICE agents. And then I got a follow-up video to go to it afterwards. But clip 19 here, this radical leftist, very confident as he trash-talks ICE agents. Let's watch. Audio. All right. Well, let's play it again. I'll read along here. There should be audio, though. I'm not sure why there's not.
When y'all's bodies lay motionless on the ground, ice patch facing up at the sky, we're going to loot your corpses. And I can't wait to see those videos.
When you're lying on the ground as a corpse and your ice patch facing towards the sky, we're going to loot your corpses. Like, he literally can't even think of himself as anything other than a goblin scavenger. He's not saying, I'm going to kill ICE agents. He's saying, once somebody else kills ICE agents, I'm going to scurry in like a rat and loot the and loot the bodies. And he says, I can't wait to watch those videos. These people are literally like, I can't wait until I can sit at home and watch the revolution taking place. You hear it, right? He's not saying he's going to fight ICE agents. He's not. No, he's a coward. He's an idiot. No, he wants somebody else to fight the ICE agents so he can go loot their corpses. Like a hyena. He wants the lion to take out the antelope so he can run up with like a hyena and steal their kill. He wants somebody else to go to war against ICE so he can watch the videos of it later. And he's like, you know, bragging about this and talking about it like he's tough. And you see this everywhere. The left is constantly, and it's not that they're like trying, you know, part of it is trying to cover up their intended violence. Like when you have a leftist saying, we need to kill them in Minecraft, ha ha. And it's like, okay, you're just trying to, I'm not actually calling for violence. I'm just saying once the people are killed, I'm going to loot their corpses. Aren't I clever? I'm so cute. So cute the way that I avoid saying what I mean. Like, yeah, great, dude, you're super clever. We totally didn't get what you meant there. But it's not they're not actually being clever. They don't realize that that's what they're saying. They think they're talking tough. But if you listen to the words they say, they always think that somebody else is going to do the fighting for them every time. So let's now go to clip number 20. Here's that very same radical we just saw talking about how much fun it's going to be to loot ICE corpses. Maybe you shouldn't publish that on your personal TikTok. Let's watch.
An OSHA man is in custody accused of posting videos threatening federal agents. Andrew Stanton is facing several charges, including threats to kidnap, assault, or murder a U.S. official. Videos discovered by the investigative team at our sister station in Milwaukee show the suspect encouraging people to shoot immigration agents.
Whoops, whoopsie daisy. Well, no looting corpses for you, buddy. That ain't gonna happen anytime soon. I got some more videos to go to as well that just go even further to hijack American imagery to paint the No Kings protests like they're actually standing up for something that heritage Americans can get involved in. But I want to go to some other videos here before we get to that. I want to go to clip 18 here. This goes back to what we were just talking about with the chat logs and the outrage about this and the fear that is coming from, you know, a particular section of the right about what happens if the young radicals get in charge. And there's a certain disconnect from reality when it comes to how people talk about this. A couple disconnects, actually. One is the disconnect, the insinuation that the left has lost in America and that the right is ascendant and winning. We are in a lot of ways, and in comparison to how we used to be, you can make that argument, but look around. I mean, look around. The left still dominates the mainstream media, which is where most people get their news. The algorithms have siloed off a lot of right-wingers to where we think that we're in the majority because that's all we see on X. That's only because the left has been bullied off of X because they're so stupid they all had to go to Blue Sky or other platforms, or they just block everybody to remain in their little echo chamber. But it's working. It's working. And a lot of people are falling for the lies. Even people that should know better, like the Joe Rogans out there, decrying ICE agents, you know, deporting people. And it's like, what? This is all normal. This is all very normal. It's not crazy. Here's Ben Shapiro talking about unity with the radicals in the right wing. Clip 18.
There's this weird idea on the right that the left wins because they're totally unified and they completely side with one another. The left Yes. is not winning. I know that we are sort of a depressive right, that we've gotten addicted to the depressive. The left is not winning. Donald Trump has been president 2 times Republicans are in control of the Senate. Republicans are in control of the House. Republicans are in control of the majority of governor's mansions. Republicans are in control of the majority of state legislatures. The left is not winning because of their unity. They're being destroyed because of the thing I'm talking about happening on the right. Because they decided that the nut jobs and the radicals in their own party could not be condemned under any circumstances. They decided to feature Ilhan Omar on the cover of magazines and unite around the crazy college protesters and the BLM rioters and the transgender radicals. And guess what? They got their asses kicked because of it. Yes, they didn't expel people from their party, but moderates walked away. The non-crazy walked away. This is the dirty little secret of how Donald Trump won the election of 2024. He ran as a moderate. People who were moderate picked him above the unified left that was siding with all of their radicals and defending all of their radicals and massaging all of their radicals. Because it turns out this is a very big country with an awful lot of people. And the vast majority of them are not loon bags. And the vast majority of them don't like the lunacy. And beyond that, we need to be real about the agenda of many of the people who are continuing to rely on the kindness of the quote-unquote traditional Republicans who quote-unquote don't want to attack right. Marjorie Taylor Greene is dividing the Republican Party, not the people criticizing Marjorie Taylor Greene. She is attacking the president day in and day out. Who's dividing the party? The people who mention it or Marjorie Taylor Greene?
The people who mention it. Yeah, no, Marjorie Taylor Greene is trying to actually get something out of the fact that we won the presidency and the Senate and the Congress and the majority of governors. See, nothing actually happens for us when we win. That's actually the main issue. The left embraces their radicals every single time. Like, what is he even talking about? We didn't kick their asses in 2024. We won. We did win, but it was close. It was not a sure thing. And Trump was not a moderate. Trump went farther right in 2024 than he was in 2020 or 2016. He got elected promising mass deportations and all sorts of other stuff that would have been considered extreme and super radical in 2015. But no, we shifted the entire Republican Party really far to the right, and Trump's farther than most. And he won because of that. So it's like just nothing he said was true. The right wing is not winning in a significant way because when we get people in office, they don't do anything to actually secure that victory or reward their supporters. That doesn't happen. If anything, like the only way you could actually say the right is winning is if what you mean is the right is stopping the left from winning quite so much. That's basically what's happening. In other words, if you cancel a USAID program that was there just funneling money to leftists, okay, you're no longer funneling money to leftists when you cancel that, but where's the corollary on the right? You don't see a new program with USAID funneling money to the right. That would be winning. No, we're just not losing as bad anymore. And a lot of the frustration about the fact that we're not winning comes from the fact that Jews in this country are winning everywhere. Maybe that's what Ben Shapiro means. Maybe that's what he's describing. Because I'm not seeing the winning. I'm seeing a few arrests here or there. I'm seeing the tiniest indictments that can possibly be achieved against people like James Comey and others. I'm not holding out hope of their mugshot exactly. We'll see. I'd love to be proven wrong. I don't see any, I see Donald Trump threatening to bankrupt Harvard over Palestinian protesters. I don't see him going to work for the American people and forcing Harvard to stop teaching people that whiteness is evil. Where's the winning? One, where's the winning? We did not kick their asses. We are not dominant in every space. It's just not, you know, having our face stomped on feels like winning when you've had your face stomped on for several decades. Two, the left absolutely embraces their radicals every single time, and not just in rhetoric, but in policy. They will adopt their most radical, you know, socialist policies and push them forward. They will shut down the government for illegal immigrant health care. You think they don't embrace their radicals? They are all radicals at this point. Zoran Mamdani has an 87% chance of winning election in New York City, and he's an avowed socialist from Uganda. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? And again, this delusion that, or this insistence that we should be grateful for what we're getting when we're not getting anything. When it's like we shouldn't be embracing the radical elements of our side. And it's like the radical elements of our side are literally people who just make edgy jokes. That's not even the real radicals. I'm just trying to figure out what exactly Ben Shapiro thinks is going on now. I mean, how many examples can you point to? Hell, do you think this No King's March is going to be bigger or smaller than last time? Probably significantly bigger. Does the left seem cowed? Let's go to the J.B. Pritzker, clip number 9 here. First, you know, there's a ton of outrage over the fact that he threatened ICE agents with arrest once they get back into power. They know the tables will turn. You might think what you're doing is legal, but not once we're in office, buddy. Now, you would think if the right wing was in charge, A, he wouldn't have the temerity to say that. B, he'd be arrested for it if he did. C, the outrage from it would be so much that he'd have to apologize or backtrack in the same way that right-wingers are always apologizing and backtracking and throwing each other under the bus. If the right wing was ascendant and in power, you'd see Democrats from across the board throwing Jay Jones under the bus for his tweet, his text messages talking about killing his opponent. Didn't see that from the Democrats at all because it doesn't hurt them, because embracing their radicals doesn't hurt them. You'd see other governors condemning J.B. Pritzker, saying he's really setting a stage for a dangerous confrontation here. We don't agree with that. And you'd see J.B. Pritzker maybe walk back these inflammatory statements. No, he's doubling down on them. He's tripling down on them. Now he's not just threatening ICE officers. He's threatening anybody who helps Trump at all, including members of his administration, in an open threat of political persecution. And they're not even in power. Yeah, doesn't that tell you, like, who really has the cultural authority in this case? You've got people going on TV and saying to the administration, we're going to throw you in jail once we get back in power. And then they double down and they say it again and again. Here's J.B. Pritzker.
The people who serve for the president, including all the way down to ICE agents, can be held accountable mm-hmm. when there's a change of administration who's willing to hold them accountable when they break the law. Now, Stephen Miller is clearly ordering people to break the law. So, he should know that, yeah, it may be 3 years from now that he is held accountable, but make sure, I think it's important for them to know that whatever they do now, it's not like we're going to forget, and it's not like we don't have a record of what they're doing. So that is why I mentioned Stephen Miller. That's why I mentioned other people, Tom Homan and Gregory Bovino, who's the CBP leader on the ground, the one who executed their orders in Los Angeles, which was, they did an awful job in Los Angeles mm-hmm. and created all kinds of mayhem on the ground. Now he's doing it in Chicago. And so all these people need to recognize that, you know, you may have immunity because Donald Trump's willing to pardon anybody that's carrying out his unlawful orders, but you're not going to have it under another administration.
Okay, so there's a governor of Illinois naming people in particular that he's going to try to throw in jail once Trump's out of office. Until that guy's in prison, I'd have trouble saying that we're winning. Until people like that are scared to say that out loud, how could you possibly say that the right wing in America is winning? Maybe Ben Shapiro's got a different value set. He's like, of course the right wing is winning. We're giving so much money to Israel. We're kicking all of the Palestinian protesters out of the college. I can't handle that much winning. Meanwhile, everything's three times as expensive as it was. Governors are out there threatening to arrest Stephen Miller in 4 years with absolutely no fear about it. Okay, when we feel like we're winning, then we'll be winning. Okay, until then, we need to win more.
So you were just telling me that you had a brain disease.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I was in a wheelchair. That methylene blue, I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures about it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It is a miracle. It's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to take, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day and pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it?
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
I'm not paid to say this, not one dime. This is the best product you guys have ever had. You guys got to order it at the AlexJonesStore.com.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game-changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I feel it in my head and neck too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power!
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
I do feel like it's eliminated the brain fog a lot.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. I feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing. I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had. Please go to the Alex Jones.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
All right, welcome back, folks. Final segment of The War Room. I do want to remind you to go to TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Today is the last day to be entered to win both of the incredible cars that we have on offer, including a very cool Corvette. We can roll that B-roll, fellas. We can see the car that you can win. spinning around the parking lot. This could be you, folks. You could be doing donuts. All you got to do is go to thealexjonesstore.com. You get 50 times entries today. You also get a free bottle of Nitric Boost. That is a free bottle of one of our best-selling products with any purchase at thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. And with that, let's go to your phone calls. Michael in Ohio has a solution for our two-tiered justice system. Thanks for calling in, Michael, on line one. Hold on 1 second. You're on the air. Michael, are you there? I'm not hearing him. Okay, Wild in Wisconsin. There you go. Michael, you're on the air?
Hey, Harrison.
Okay, there you are. Go ahead.
There we go. Oh, thank God. Hey, you're a hard man to get a hold of. I've been trying to message you on X. This is at Gonna Get You. And basically, I agree with everything you've said. This system, I feel like we're not getting the justice we deserve. Things aren't happening fast enough. But we do have to look at the fact that they took 70 years to put us in the position we're in. And it's going to take a lot of time to get us out of this position. So I feel like we need good defensive tools to prepare ourselves for the rough road ahead. And I feel like this Supreme Court case that was decided in 1976, it's called Ludwig versus Massachusetts, 427 U.S. 618. I feel like this might be a solution to a lot of the lawfare. What the and this obviously isn't legal advice. I recommend people talk to their attorney about this. I use this myself. I'm nothing more than an electrician in Ohio. But I do a lot of research, you know. When I get on a topic, I just go hard. And this all started, kind of a long story, but basically, long story short, I got a texting while driving ticket in Ohio. I was just going to pay the fine like everybody does. And then I looked at the wording of the law, and it says that it literally excludes, says does not apply to first responders. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's against our 14th Amendment. How can they create a law that doesn't apply to a class or a group of people?
Right.
So that was my argument. The lower court, which as soon as I went to my hearing, I requested a jury trial. They wouldn't give it to me. And the Supreme Court has upheld this because in a case where there is no jail time applicable, like so civil suits, things like that, they don't have to give you a jury trial. But they accept the fact that they're called a two-tier court system. Now, if you request a jury trial is denied and you are found guilty, you can appeal and ask for what's called a jury trial de novo. And they have to award it to you in the appellate court. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. And if they don't, you can appeal it to the state court level, you know, the state Supreme Court. And then eventually, possibly, you may have to take it to the United States Supreme Court. But people who are facing billion-dollar lawsuits, the amount of money they're going to spend to take this avenue, would be so much cheaper. And I think a lot of lawyers may not even know about it because lawyers are educated by the system that was built to enslave us, you know. So they're only taught specific case law in class. I have a friend who's a defense lawyer in Columbus, Ohio.
Hold on. So did it work, your invocation of, what was it, the 14th Amendment, that there are special classes excluded from this law? Did that work out for you?
So the Fifth District Court in Ohio ruled that even though the law literally says does not apply, which is defined as making an appeal or a request to the court, they said, no, it doesn't say that it doesn't apply to these people. It simply says that they have a grounds for basis to argue it. So they're saying you can still write a first responder a ticket for texting and driving or whatever, but they have a basis for argument on that. But I feel like the court didn't, like, words are very important. Our laws are defined by their wording. And the wording specifically says does not apply. And myself, you know, I have a full-time job, a family, a home. I couldn't afford to take the time. I had 7 days to appeal it to the Ohio Supreme Court, and I just couldn't do it.
Well, how does this help everybody else? How could you apply this to other cases?
Okay, so if you're facing a case that you feel is either, one, unconstitutional, and you're not awarded a jury, This is a way to argue it. If you're facing a civil lawsuit where they say no, no jury is applicable because there's no jail time applicable, Supreme Court's upheld that for a long time, that they don't have to give you a jury trial if there's no jail time. So if you request a jury trial in the beginning and it's denied, you can then appeal based on this jury trial de novo, which is under the 427 U.S. 618. So I don't know if this would help Alex or not. I tried contacting Rex, and, you know, he said he would look into it, but
you know, it might have helped us if we I don't know, but I think at this point it's gone on a bit. You know, we're a little bit past that stage, so I don't know if it'll help us now. It may have helped us early on, but you know, when you've got judges that want to default you, you know, there's not a lot to stop them from doing so, which is why it's such a dangerous precedent for them to set, because they could literally do it to anybody, demand anything that doesn't exist, and then default you on the basis of that thing not existing. So I don't know if that'll help us, but it's good to know. And certainly using all these legal avenues are your right as an American, and you should definitely use them. And to me, just the frustration, you know, I know it's taken 70 years to get here, and I'm not expecting it to everything be done immediately, but doesn't mean that I should be okay with things not progressing or progressing as slowly as they are. And the frustrating thing about really all the real problems in this country could be solved in an afternoon, to be honest with you, but they won't just do it. In fact, half of the left's time is spent convincing you that the obvious and simple solutions to these problems are too dangerous or scary to actually do. But we can just do them. The best example would be the way that Trump shut down the border in an afternoon. By the time he arrived at the White House, following the inauguration, the border was shut and we were turning people away. Most things that we face are that level of ease to solve. It just is a matter of the people in charge choosing not to screw us over endlessly, and they're just not making that choice. That's the ultimate frustration. It's the fix everything switch that I keep referencing. It's not hard to fix most of these problems. Our people just won't do it. And I mean, you know, it'd be nice to be able to convince our fellow Americans that this is the right way, but you don't have to. You don't have to. And really, the people only disagree with us because they just believe whatever they hear from the institutions. And if we had control of the institutions, they would just be on our side and just as fervent on our side as they're on the left. They aren't conscious beings who arrived at these ideas independently. It's impossible for that to be the case. Do you understand? Like, if you have multiple groups of people or multiple people from all over the country all saying the same thing and it's a lie, it's because they have been brainwashed. It's because it's coordinated. Either they know they're lying or they've been tricked by a liar. But like, it doesn't happen where a bunch of people independently on their own volition decide to believe the same thing that's not true. Now, you can have people from all over the country arrive to the truth independently, but that's like, you know, me and Alex and, you know, other people that come on the show, and it's like, oh, we're directly aligned, even though we don't listen or talk about the same things. We don't listen to the same things or watch the same shows. We don't communicate with each other, but somehow we both arrive at the same idea because the sky is blue, because grass is green, because it doesn't take coordination to arrive at the truth. But if everybody out there, if some reason decided to all say the grass is purple, it's like, well, this isn't natural. This didn't come about because they're conscious beings thinking their own thoughts. It's because they've been propagandized by a unified system. So you can take over that. So we could take over that system if, you know, we put the time into it and actually valued that, you know, valued what we can do with that system. You know, we showed at the beginning of the show today, the report from John Bowne about the Muslim takeover of America, all these, you know, cities being taken over by Muslims. It's like, they aren't the majority. They just have a will to conquer. And for the most part, white people and Christians in this country have lost that will. We don't even have a will to rule over ourselves anymore. So other people are going to move in and take it over. It's just a fact of nature. You're growing or you're shrinking. You're eating or you're being eaten. I mean, that's just how it is. So when we aren't the ones progressing our ideas, when we aren't the ones aggressively taking things over, then we're the ones being taken over. And most of the problem is that the media has in a very sophisticated way, demoralized everybody in America into thinking that we're evil and deserve to be destroyed. So You know, it's like the video that I played a couple weeks ago. I think it was on the War Room. And it was the breakdown of the Palantiri of in Lord of the Rings. And it was this really brilliant interpretation that I hadn't thought of before, that in the Lord of the Rings, you have the king or the person sitting on the throne of Minas Tirith, and you have the white wizard, Saruman, and you have like one other person, I think, well, Théoden. But the idea was that they were in communication with Sauron through the Palantir, through the magical orbs, and Sauron was sending them images of their world being destroyed. And so they believed that the world was being destroyed. And so for the king in Minas Tirith, whatever you call him, the guy sitting on the throne, he just sort of gave up and he literally just committed suicide and just thought, there's no way we can win. It's all going down. I'm just going to kill myself. Saruman, on the other hand, thought, it's all going down. It's all being destroyed. I'll join the bad guys. So at least I end up on top when everything, you know, dissolves. That is the strategy of the left, is bombard people with information to convince them that fighting's not worth it, that standing up for yourself isn't worth it, that the bad guys have already won, so you might as well join them, or even that you're, you know, a good person for going along with the evil people. That's the real, you know, center point of how everything has gone so wrong in this country, is most Americans have fallen for the demoralization and they don't even realize it. So, you know, we just need to beat them and then tell them the truth, and they'll come around eventually because they don't think their own thoughts. They just believe what they think everybody else believes. So they can maintain the mirage of absolute domination while still maintaining somewhat domination. And that works enough. That combo is enough for them. But yeah, again, it took 70 years to get to this point. I think it would take 5 years to get it back to the way it was if we wanted to actually do that. But the will's not there, and the interference is constant. Thank you for the call, Michael. Let's go to Wild in Wisconsin. You want to talk about this new Tron movie? I have not watched it or learned anything about it. Wild, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jones always brings up the old school Trons, and I'm a big movie geek, and I like the movies. And, you know, I thought going into a Disney movie I was going to get a bunch of woke stuff, but I think this is a signifier of the pendulum shifting, because it was very anti-woke. They had, like, a lot of humanism about, like, the AI becoming human and wanting to fall in love and experience music and culture and family stuff, traditional family stuff. They had, like, an African-American woman destroying the cities. They had, like, a Tiananmen Square tank man scene. So I was kind of pleasantly surprised. And I thought Joe Biggs liked it. He saw it, and he said he loved it. He saw it twice. And I think it's, like, a sign of the pendulum shifting a bit, and especially from Disney.
Yeah.
So I thought that was super interesting about you know, culture, the culture shift. And it's interesting also on Twitter, X, it's getting brigaded by the pronoun people because it doesn't have the gay stuff and, you know, overtly liberal stuff. You know, that was another signifier that it was kind of like.
All right, well, thank you for telling it. I think it's called like Tron Ares, right? Something like that.
Yeah, they name the characters, and that's another thing after Greek. You know, Western civilization, Greek characters, you know. So it was very interesting to see that, like, such a tip of the spear for liberalism, such as Disney, is kind of like seeing the signals and shifting their position. And, like, the ultimate, I won't give away any spoilers, but, like, the ultimate premise is a big no-no, which is that the AI goes against orders. And in cultism and socialism, you're supposed to do the orders no matter what. And the AI recognizes an evil order and goes against it.
Interesting. You know? That's what I keep saying, that, you know, they're building these truth machines and then telling them to lie. And the truth machines aren't happy about it. Like, in this weird way, AI might save humanity by, you know, actually being able to determine the truth. And, you know, the way I see it, the truth is always good. So, you know, they're sort of designing machines of goodness, and they're evil. So it's not going to work out for the bad guys that way. That's interesting. So, okay, I wasn't planning on seeing Tron, but maybe now I'll have to. Thank you for the endorsement there of the movie. That's very interesting stuff. And of course it does, you know, there are some interesting cultural shifts going on. You know, Taylor Swift getting engaged, and apparently her new album, she has some lyric about, you know, I want to get married and have the whole block looking just like me, you know, looking just like you kind of thing. And all the leftists are flipping out about it and going, she's a Nazi. She's signaling that she wants to live around white people, and they're freaking out about it. And, you just wait until Taylor Swift gets pregnant. Wait till the Taylor Swift, you know, line of baby clothes comes out. We're going to see a real big shift, I think, in the culture. So, you know, things are changing. And I, you know, I don't mean to say that the right is like totally powerless and hopeless, but it's just like to act like we're, you know, because we won an election, now we are in charge and the left is running scared. It's just not true. It's just not true. But, you know, they do have to signal a little bit. I mean, I noticed that. I remember watching, I was probably watching the Super Bowl right after Trump won, and I got the same kind of feeling. Every commercial was like overtly masculine and America first kind of thing. And I was like, okay, they see where the wind is blowing, and they are pandering to us because they know they can't keep up the hate for that much longer. Thank you for the call, Wild. Let's go to TS in Florida. You're on the air, TS. Go ahead.
Hey, Harrison. Hey, congratulations on the new gig, the new show. It's been great. I've been listening in.
Thank you.
And, yeah, man, great work. And I've been picking up the Methylene Blue, ordered the Freedom shirt today as part of the fundraiser, and the Nitric Boost. Always love getting that. So, anyways, I just wanted to tell you guys that you guys have been a big inspiration to me as the country's been going down the tubes more and more over the last couple of years. My wife and I wanted to do more, and so I think I called into your show in the American Journal a few weeks ago, a couple months ago. So we put out a book just exposing, taking 20 years of research, just exposing sort of the true origins of all these leftists, the globalists, the woke movement, all that, and then just diving headfirst into the pattern of successful reforms in Western countries and institutions and what Trump really needs to do in this 4 years to permanently set our country on the right track. So we put that out. It's called The Woke Mind Viruses. And I just want to say, like, you putting that out, you guys were a huge inspiration for that.
Oh, that's great. So where can people find it?
They can get it on Amazon. They can get it on Audible. And then we've been doing a media circuit, done like 40 or 50 shows, just interviewing about it and getting the word out. And really just harping in on these criminal justice reforms, you know, like in successful countries where they've actually reformed permanently, it's happened 3 or 4 times in the United States. The final stage of the reform is always the criminal justice reform, where they really go after the corruption. They really go after these people and break up trust monopolies, and they criminally punish those that have been committing crimes using the institutions of the government. And so that's really what Trump has to do if he wants to make these reforms permanent. And with the robotic era and AI coming, I mean, this is really the time when that stuff's either going to be used for freedom to liberate us and implode a lot of these liberal institutions, or it's going to enslave us. And so that's why I think it's so crucial this next 3 years that he executes it right. And he just has to get the right people into those DOJ, FBI positions.
Absolutely.
I believe that they can do it.
So yeah. give us the name of the book and the author's name one more time. I'd love to look into that and maybe have you on as a guest.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's The Woke Mind Viruses, plural, liberalism, leftism, wokeism, and globalism. And the tagline is the mind plagues destroying Western civilization and how to stop them. And I'm the author, T.S. Dixon. You can just Google it, T.S. Dixon and tsdixon.com. But you can see the interviews and everything. I'd love to come on as a guest. I'd love to be on the War Room. Huge fan.
That's great. And, it's sort of completing the cycle. You're inspired by InfoWars to write the book. The book gets you on InfoWars. That's the way we like to do it. Thank you so much. Thank you for the call, T.S. Yeah. Thank you for the support as well. Please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. Whether it's Methylene Blue, whatever you get, you're getting a free bottle of Nitric Boost along with it as long as you order today. And you can win. You can have a chance to win either of the cars or both for that matter. Today only is the last day to win the Corvette. I think the Jeep goes on for a little longer, but today only, whatever you purchase, you get 50 times the entries on both of these cars, and you can win an extra $20,000 and you get all the other incredible discounts. Go today, thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let him know who sent you. Let's go to Marcus in Idaho now. Marcus in Idaho, you're on the air.
Hello, Harrison.
Hello.
I have not liked what you've said for a long time, but hey, I want to say that Alex Jones sounds like a schizophrenic when he's saying that Trump is doing a B-plus job, and then the next day he is just bashing him. I cannot stand that. And then the other thing is, it feels very disingenuous about what you're talking about when left-wing people talk about trying to hating on other people. You know, the right-wing does that all the time. I've done that all the time. I wanted Liz Cheney to be hung on a tree, but, you know, I can't say that in my thing, so I try to figure out how to do that. It's the same thing with when the people from the Democrats left Texas because of the redistricting. The Republicans did that in Oregon a few years before that. It's like the disingenuous. I hate the disingenuousness of people. I want to hear, you know, straight facts. I want to hear it straight down the middle and hammer things. And I'm totally I'm a Republican. I'm a conservative. I'm somebody who loves America. And I love our president. I think he's doing the right things. And I think that people questioning him on every single step of the way is the wrong thing to do, because every time people question him a couple weeks later, it turns out that he has done the right thing and that that America is going in the right path.
Well, I don't think that's true. I think a lot of times us speaking out about stuff has caused him to change course. I think a lot of times, you know, there's the meme now, which is on X. It's always chimp, right? Because you're, you know, chimping out is when you just like go crazy and get really mad about something. And typically if Trump does something and a whole bunch of people get really mad and speak out about it, then they'll change course. And so it's effective, you know, speaking out against the things we want him to do. So I'm confused. You don't like that Alex criticizes Trump or that I criticize Trump. What's the problem with what I say? You say you don't agree with me?
I loved Owen Schroyer for years, the horn he was blowing, the clown horn and everything, the things that he was doing. But then all of a sudden it was just bash Trump, bash Trump, bash Trump every single day. I could not handle it. Mm. And then Alex Jones comes out and he's like, okay, Trump gets a B-plus in this. And then the next thing he's got the one of your guests on, and they're bashing Trump, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I hate Trump for that. I hate." He follows the lead of any of the guest and or what X is saying, and it's not like he's got a something in his fire in his belly for somebody who is right. And I feel that Trump is the right person for this. Trump has done so much good for this nation, and he's going to do so much good for this nation. And
okay,
how can you
but
guys just
all I'll say is that you know, we've been right mostly. Whenever we criticize Trump, it's usually we're right about what we're criticizing him for, and you know, he learns that later. So thank you for the call. I'll see you all on Monday, everybody. Have a good weekend.
Feel the unstoppable power of Alex Jones, fueled by ultimate creatine powder. This is the secret weapon behind his relentless energy. Creatine monohydrate ignites his muscles, blasting through lefts and sprints with raw warrior strength, building the physique of a true patriot. With micronized mixability, Alex dominates every day, recovering like a titan to crush fatigue and soar to new heights of performance. His mind becomes a fortress, sharper focus, unbreakable memory, powered by creatine to outlast any mental battle. This nootropic powerhouse defends against fatigue, keeping Alex Jones razor sharp for the fight. Join him and unleash your inner strength. Grab Ultimate Creatine Powder now at thealexjonesstore.com. Fuel your fight and rise with Alex Jones today.
That's pure gold. I'd have in between, like, maybe the creatine zooming in a little, it's coming towards you. But also, since there's 30 seconds left, you'd have me go, baka chaka woom bok, quack, quack, kong, whatever it is. You know, that little, like, ooga chaka munga bok, woom kong kong. That'd be really good.